Tonight's episode is brought to you by Kylo Ren's new screamo band, Patricide, featuring such hits as My Father Never Loved Me and
No!
Welcome back. First episode of 2016. It is January 9th. We are the Good Old Gamers Podcast. You can reach us here at 682-777-GOOD. Call us in. We'll play your shit on the air at some point tonight. Like I said, we're the Good Old Gamers Podcast. We're back with you for 2016. I'm Lyle McClendon. I'm here as always with Brandon Gentry.
Go fuck yourself, everyone. Hope you had a good Christmas and a happy new year.
A welcome return, indeed. We are the number one rated retro gaming podcast in Alabama, and perhaps even the world.
Perhaps.
Don't you think? Well, we're kicking 2016 off, as usual. If
quite drunkenly.
Quite drunkenly. It's a new year, a new us. We're planning on being better alcoholics this year, I do believe.
Yeah, I'm quite the flabbering vagina.
Crot.
Yeah, same thing. I'm quite the flabbering vagina when it comes to alcohol anymore, and I'm pretty drunk now.
For the listeners that don't know, me and Brandon have about consumed an entire 750 milliliter bottle of Fireball this evening, and have been drinking quite the beers all day long.
Yeah, too. And moving and all that.
Yeah.
We're in a new place, so
our sound quality isn't as top-notch as you come to expect it to be. This is our first recording, not only for the beginning of the new year, but this is our first recording in our new podcast office.
Yes, this new place has drywall and a lot more windows.
I don't live in a rape cabin anymore.
There might be a lot more reverb and echo. We don't have any soundproofing up yet, so I apologize if the audio quality is up to par. We worked pretty hard to get our old quality up, and then now we're kind of starting over again.
Yep,
so
back to the Stone Age.
So, sorry, but hope it's intelligible.
Yeah. We're going to have it fixed up. We're going to do some sound paneling, and like I said, I just moved into a new house. I've been moving all fucking week long, and I'm still not finished, so...
Yeah, boxes as far as the eye can see.
It's a sea of boxes in here.
And sweet bitchin' arcade cabinets.
I'm not gonna lie to you neither, Brandon. I'm very fucking ill prepared for tonight. Our first episode back, and of course I'm
not gonna lie either. I had quite a bit of time to prepare, but I didn't.
But you didn't.
Because I had a Wii U. And I had time off work. And my God, those two things never happen at the same time.
That's something I feel that we need to both talk about. Because we are coming back hot off Christmas. And that is what... Well, I mean, your kids received theirs.
Dude, my daughter has...
Kids?
Yes. But seriously, though, my daughter has become such a Mario nerd. I'm so fucking proud. She doesn't care...
Dude, that's something to be proud of. That's amazing.
She does not care about tablet games anymore. Fuck Crossy Road. Fuck Fruit Ninja. Mario. Mario 3D World. All day, every fucking day.
Nice.
It's awesome.
We received the Wii U's for Christmas. And, been pretty glued. Splatoon, man, has got me hooked. I love me the shit out of some Splatoon. Smash 4s is fun, of course. I mean, everybody knows that. Fast racing motherfucking Neo, dude.
That's awesome.
To me, it's not as good as F-Zero, just because F-Zero is all forever going to hold a special place, you know, in my heart.
Yeah.
But it's damn
the
good.
The only thing I wish Fast Racing Neo had was an Extreme G version where you had weapons.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
I loved Extreme G so much. And this game is very reminiscent of Extreme G. It's so fast. God damn, it's so fast.
A lot of the shit that you end up doing is literally like split-second decision time.
Yes.
It's fucking ridiculous. I just now got to the advanced courses today, which is the same courses but a little bit faster and a little bit harder. And
was it like 150cc Mario Kart?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't fucking touch some of that shit.
I'm impressed with how well the Wii U handles that game. They've did a really great job of optimizing that for the Wii U, because it goes so goddamn fast, but so smooth. It never drops frame rates.
Super smooth.
Yeah. It feels like you're going a million miles an hour, because, I mean, you are. You got to make decisions very fucking quick, and if you don't, you're going to be left in eighth place. You immediately
crash.
Yes.
There's a lot of, like, jumps and shit you have, or gaps you actually jump, and the part of the track that you land on will be slightly off-center from how you go up there, so you got to be pulling either to the left or the right.
Hey, before,
it gets fucking nerve-wracking.
Before we get too far into our general bullshit and news, at the end of the podcast, after the outro,
yes, yeah, go ahead.
We're going to talk Star Wars, full spoilers.
Yeah, so if you're one of those lame-ass people that haven't watched it yet and you're going to be like, spoiler alert, fuck you. You're getting the full spoilers at the end of the episode. You got your warning. If you don't want to hear it, do not listen.
You hear the outro music hit, stop the podcast. Yeah.
If you haven't watched Force Awakens, please. And it's Force Awakens isn't even really video game related, but it is Star Wars, and we do like everything nerd, so we have to talk about Star Wars. Star Wars is no longer a movie. That Force Awakens is a full-on cultural fucking phenomenon.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
You know, if you're a stickler for spoilers and you haven't seen the movie yet, what the fuck's going on in your life?
So. Yeah, like, if you haven't watched it yet, you're not truly a fucking Star Wars fan. I'm sorry, but... You can be, but I highly doubt that you wait.
Someone in your immediate family better be dying, is all I can say. Yeah.
Cancer better be the only Christmas gift someone got. Oh my. Fireball whiskey tastes like heaven, burns like hell. Which is where I'm gonna feel if I keep talking about people like that. Sorry.
Oh, fucking got it. Okay, it's time for news. Fuck you, soundboard. Work!
This just in, our first episode is gonna be a really drunken blur. I have a feeling.
Yeah, I'm sorry, people. I did write down some shit while I was sober
earlier. I have a little bit of news.
Yeah. First, I wanted to talk about Bayonetta 2 prices.
I knew nothing about this until you told me. So, lay it on us.
Okay.
Well, I was a little mind blown by this.
I will tell the epic tale of how I came across this bit of news. As we mentioned a few podcasts ago, I think maybe the last podcast, I don't know, a few weeks ago anyhow, they announced that Bayonetta is going to be a Smash Brothers DLC character.
Well, indeed.
Before any of this even dropped, I was looking at Wii U games, and I was like, oh, Bayonetta, that looks pretty good. I'm going to buy that. It's only a $30 game. Why not? Okay, well, I saw it had an M rating, so I didn't buy it right off for my kids, so... Because obviously,
I'm glad you actually used discretion toward the ratings board.
Yeah, I'm a fucking parent. I look into these things.
Good.
But after I got the Wii U and my kids got their 90,000 hours out of the first 2 days, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna buy that for me. And if it's not too bad, I'll let my kids play it. So I looked on eBay and I was like, oh my god, this is like $100 to $130 game. What happened? When I last looked at it, it was $30 all day, every fucking day. $30. That's like top price. So when we mentioned that Bayonetta's announced as a Smash Brothers characters, all the Smash Bros. Nerds went out and bought the game. And it jumped up that high. So if you can find... GameStop still sells Bayonetta for $30. A lot of other game stores do. Walmart. I went to Walmart at ARAB at 4 a.m. in the morning before work and bought Bayonetta 2 for $60.
That is motherfucking dedication, I want to point out on your behalf. Kudos to you for getting up that fucking early to go buy a Wii U game.
Yeah, I got up at... went there at 4, got to work like around 5, so yeah, it's pretty bitching. Anyways, if you can find Bayonetta for less than $80, I would say, it's an amazing deal. Do it. And also, I want to send out a big fuck you to all the Smash Brothers nerds that drove up the price that high. That
purposely made you have to pay that much for that fucking
game. Yeah, I was going to buy $30. And I almost say I don't regret buying it for the full retail price of $60 because it's a damn good fucking game. Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U comes with Bayonetta 1, and I already beat 1. I'm more than halfway through 2. Fucking amazing hack and slash games. I already had a boner for hack and slash games. But Bayonetta 2, I mean, they're amazing.
I want it so bad. I wish I could have.
You will definitely borrow it if you don't get it by the time I'm done with everything.
Nice.
I can't recommend those games enough if you can find it at a reasonable price. I wouldn't pay $100 for this game, but it's well worth the $60 that it originally sold for. So, yeah. If you can find it for a good price, get it. Otherwise, fuck you, Smash Brother nerds, like our friend Steve Steverson. He's part of the reason. He went out and bought it because he saw the Smash Brothers trailer. Fuck you, Steve.
It's kind of just, you know, it's almost just like that, the fucking Devil's Third thing. Yeah. Like, they only shipped, the rumor was like 420
The main difference is, though, Bayonetta's been out since 2014.
And the main difference is Bayonetta's actually a good game.
Yeah.
Devil's Third's a big piece of shit from what I've
gathered. Yeah. And Bayonetta's 2014, and it just now spiked in price. But, yeah, Steve Steverson, I know you tell me he's listening to the episode sequentially, except for the episodes that he's been on. So he might listen to this in, like, 5 months from now, because he doesn't get a lot of time to listen to podcasts, so fuck you, Steve.
Sucks to be you,
but nerd. Thank you for helping me move some TV, some work, so, That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I had to move my house. So I was unable to help get Game Fest TVs. Dude, I ain't gonna lie. Moving shit yesterday. This is news to everybody. I wanted to die. That's no lie. I could have eaten a bullet yesterday and been completely happy. Oculus Rift price has been announced.
Yeah.
So what was it they were speculating initially? $300
$300 to $400
$600.
That's on top of the minimum $1,200 PC you're gonna need for this.
Yeah, you gotta have a very high end computer, and you gotta have a very fucking high end wallet and job.
See, this is gonna be the downfall of the VR industry. I see, unless Valve pull something out of their ass.
Well, you know, PlayStation 4's VR headset's about to come out too, and they and everybody in the industry saying it is no Oculus Rift. Right.
The Vive, I still have hopes for the Vive because Valve knows their shit. They're not just some upstart. They're not some cash grab like Sony. You know, they make quality shit. So
yeah,
I have hopes for them, but I don't have a whole lot of hopes for them. This is pretty much the beginning of the end of the VR industry as I see it, because
it's almost like 3D movies.
Yes, it's a fad. It's very much a fad.
Yeah, that shit works. I mean, VR has been, look at the early 90s. You know, everybody's like, oh, VR is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, come to good old Game Fest 2016 where you can see the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, the original king of VR.
But,
It is a fad, though. Like, just like in the early 90s, everybody was like, VR is going to be the future of video games.
It doesn't matter.
No, the fuck it's not. Nobody has that kind of money to throw down.
And this is what it boils down to at the end of the day. No matter where the technology is, people want to come home from work and sit down on their fucking couch and play with a video game with a controller in their hand. It don't matter what kind of technology you throw at it. That's what it boils down to. Some people will like VR. VR, I will like it as a novelty every now and then.
VR will not appear... Appeal. It will not appeal to the general masses of gamers.
It will always be a niche. So, that means you're going to have very few games exclusive for VR. You're going to have very few people who are willing to shell out the extra money for VR. So,
only going to have people that's going to shell out money for it that feel like they own the fucking video game industry.
You're only going to have people who either have too much money or people who are just so enthusiastic about VR that they have to spend the money.
Exactly.
People like me who just want to play like 30 minutes at the end of the day before they go to bed are not going to shell out this kind of money for VR, and that means that developers are not going to make
the
VR
casual, exclusive the casual games. Gamer doesn't want fucking VR, and the casual gamer is what keeps the gaming market floating.
The only thing that's going to keep VR viable is kind of, I'd say the IT field, but it's technically like job training, say like the military. And, you know, any other training, job training that virtual reality could benefit, that's going to be a bigger benefit than us, this regular-ass gamers. Because that can see a huge fucking boon in VR.
Oh, yeah.
But, other than that, yeah, it's a novelty. It's a novelty thing. It's a novelty fad.
It will be uber popular when it first comes out, because it's just like every other gaming thing. It, like you said, it works in trends. And it's more so a gaming accessory than an actual, you know, console or game product. And that shit works in fucking cycles, too.
And I want to throw this out there. You can buy a VR set for like $2. I'm 100% serious. You can buy all it is a fucking cardboard box.
The Google cardboard box thing?
Yes. And it works pretty goddamn well.
If they can take a fucking veteran that's never been in like a Veterans Day parade and make him wear that and move that man to tears, the damn thing obviously worked.
Yeah, it's literally a cardboard box. You shove a cell phone in, and it turns it into a VR set, and it works goddamn well for $2. If that doesn't take off and revolutionize the game industry, a $600 VR set is not. So, I mean,
I'm just telling everybody, look back to 1992. The shit's already happened, and it didn't fucking stick around, did it?
It did not. I mean, it's always going to be a really cool novelty, but it's not going to be.
That's what it's always going to be, though, is a novelty.
Yep.
I think, you know. It's just, I really like the thing I'm eager to try with the new Oculus Rift is, TJ over at Inept Gamers.
Yes, I was going
to
shout out to him.
They had the Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Inept Gamers at YouTube.
They got some pretty funny videos. Y'all should like them. But those are the guys that brought the him and Casey, friends of ours from school. They brought they had the Oculus Rift demo stations at Game Fest.
Yeah,
and I thought the Oculus Rift was really cool. My only thing with it is I got motion sick as a motherfucker playing that one.
I didn't have that
problem.
The
one hallway game, just like looking at the floor while the walls were moving, fucked me up. And I got that, you know, that kind of cold sweating and nausea, like nauseated feeling. And I'm just like,
see, according to TJ, and he may have been like gripping my ego, he said, you know, I pretty much raped the Star Wars shooter game,
you do a lot of raping on video games.
Well, apparently I did really good at that. Not only did I do good on that, I got it stuck into a Star Destroyer. It was the only time he ever seen it not explode. I actually got my wild ring stuck inside of a Star Destroyer.
But Brandon, you're the chosen one!
But anyways, I don't even know where the fuck I was going with that, but it was a really cool novelty experience.
Talk about motion sickness, and you didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, but I wouldn't find myself coming home from work like, yeah, I want to throw in the Oculus Rift.
A fucking Oculus Rift headset's not going to replace your television. that your console's hooked up to. No. Dude, I love how the microphone just recorded that gulp of whiskey you took. That was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
That was sound magic.
And I can't thank them enough for bringing that out there, because
no,
I'm not
no
shitting kidding. On them by talking shit about the Oculus or any VR. It is a novelty. It's cool to play every now and then, like how they brought that out there. And I thought it was really awesome to play it. My stepson fucking loved
it.
It's
a cool new experience, man. It's something cool to try if you've never
Definitely cool factor through the roof, but it's not something like it's not an everyday thing. Just
Said, it's not going to replace your television playing video
games. Kind of like skydiving, I imagine, is an amazing fucking thing, but it's not something you do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a novelty thing.
I mean,
it's not going to revolutionize gaming.
Crack cocaine could be something alright to do every once in a while. Look at people that do it frequently, though.
Not even once, lol.
Well, me neither, but I'm just saying. In theory.
Okay, moving on, I saw that there could be a soon end coming to cracked PC games.
Yeah. Really? I haven't heard anything about this.
The de novo anti-tamper technology is apparently throwing the best crackers on the market. Just
crackers as in us?
No, crackers as in people who crack video games. Okay. Like mainly Chinese guys. 3DM is the name of like one of the top crackers. Let me find what I wrote down. His quote on Twitter is, "In 2 years' time, I'm afraid there will be no free, sick, illegally games in the world." Like, one of the top crackers in the world is saying, "I don't think we're going to be doing this in 2 or 3 years' time."
They're getting a little too advanced for us to do this shit. Because
the de novo anti-tamper technology has kept some of the best games on the market uncracked for months at a time. Which is goddamn amazing.
Yeah, usually something as soon as it hits the fucking shelf, somebody's got it figured out.
Most games, first day, it's cracked. So they're getting really good with this. And you know, as a guy who has taken advantage of pirate games to test out before he buys them and such, I'm cool with this. Because this is going to bring more PC exclusive games, and I'm fine with that. I would rather, especially since Steam now has a reasonable refund policy where you get to play it for, I don't remember how many hours or the first 30 days, whichever happens first, you can refund it before then. That lets you try out the game and realize if it's worth the $30 to $60 they're asking for. So I'm 100% on board with this. I hope that that piracy becomes a novelty thing, I guess you could say. We're on board with the novelty shit, so it's one of the things that rarely happens, or at least until like the initial sales period of a game's been out a month or two. So yeah, good on the de novo anti-tamper technology, and I hope it really succeeds and we see the developers of games benefit from it.
That really blows my mind hearing you say that. Like, I'm dumbfounded right now.
Well, like I've said before, I buy games at a lot.
Yeah, I know you. I know you do that. I just gotta give you a little shit. I know you buy the stuff you like.
I try shit out, and if I don't like it, I don't buy it until it's worth the price I think it's worth. So,
this is, the shit I'm giving you is coming from a guy that's got about, I don't know, 20 burned Dreamcast games.
Yeah.
Sitting in a folder.
Hey, I've pirated my fair share of shit, but I realize that the gaming market can't survive of piracy. You know, I've put some work into building games, even though I haven't released my own marketable game. I understand the work that fucking goes in.
Oh yeah, it's not just slapping some shit together. We've said that before.
Hell no,
it's an art form.
Yeah,
definitely, 100%. PlayStation users apparently visit Pornhub on their PlayStation more than Xbox users do. That's a legit headline.
Awesome. That's awesome. Go PlayStation.
PlayBation 4. No, Xbox One. Xbox come. No, that's dirty.
I did see, speaking of, PlayStation is still out selling everything else for Christmas sales.
They did. Xbox, though, has reached, I want to say it's, Xbox One sales have reached at least 18 million units.
Yeah, PlayStation 4, on the other hand, in total is close to 36 million, which is more than the Xbox and the Wii U combined. By far.
Ridiculous. You know, that's crazy. And I don't have a problem with PlayStation 4.
Also, I want to say that's worldwide sales. U.S. might be another story.
I was going to say, because I'm just like, and I don't mind PlayStation 4, and this is probably going to piss somebody off, but I'm just like, where in the fuck are all the PlayStation 4 players? I know four people that have PlayStation 4 compared to the 20 fucking people I know that have Xbox One. That's the whole fucking reason I ended up with an Xbox One. I have been a PlayStation supporter since PlayStation came out. But I got an Xbox One because the majority of everybody I play online with is on fucking Xbox One.
In the U.S., Xbox is a big deal. Worldwide, not so much.
No, I mean, because Xbox is Microsoft, America, you know.
Bill Gates, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Now, I want to throw in, though, my view as a PC Master Race member.
Bastard.
And you're kind of in the same category as me here, though.
Well, awesome.
Okay. Considering all the newest modern games, they almost all come out on the PC as well as the Xbox and the PS4. Almost all of them. Barring a few exclusives, namely Bloodborne, Halo, Destiny, and a handful of others.
Your fucking main console exclusives. Yeah,
right.
Your separation games.
Okay. Me, as a member of the PC Gaming Master Race, the only console I see worth buying is the Wii U. Because as a PC gamer, I can't get Mario 3D World. I can't get Mario Party. I can't get Mario Kart
8. It still has the original Nintendo games on it.
Right. To me, it's the only console out there. All the Xbox One, the PS4, the shitty computers.
They're different media, or different means of getting you the same media.
Right, they're dumbed down computers to me.
Nintendo would be the same motherfucking way if they got every port of every game released.
Which is why that it's the first console I've bought since the Dreamcast.
Dude, I've caught a lot of flack from people that know I got a fucking Wii U, because I kind of thought I was getting a PS4. Because one of the games we're going to talk about tonight, No Man's Sky, is about to drop. And that's my whole fucking reasoning for wanting a PlayStation 4. But I got a Wii U because I've been really wanting a Wii U. I'm a huge Zelda fan. There's a bunch of good Zelda shit about to come out for the thing. And I've caught so much flack. And I'm just kind of like, fuck you. Wii U is an amazing, badass little console.
I don't regret it at all. Like, the Wii U and the PC is all you fucking need if you want to keep up with current games.
You know, Wii U... Okay, you grew up on Nintendo.
Yeah.
NES and SNES, just like I did. We've always, before you converted to your fucking
PC Master Race,
militant terrorist group. Before you converted to your fucking militant PC
group, my religion.
Yeah. Before you changed
the old religion.
Before you aligned your stars or whatever. We were Nintendo kids. Does the Wii U not make you kind of get that old feeling, a little bit of like the fucking NES and SNES?
I think Mike Kennedy, who we interviewed on episode like 12 or 13.
If you listen to us, you'd know that. If you don't, shame the fuck on you.
But as he referenced in one of the podcasts, he mentioned how the new consoles don't have a soul. The Wii U has a soul.
It does.
It feels like a console.
It's a video game console. That thing is not meant to fucking play Blu-rays. You're not meant to watch a bunch of fucking movies on your Wii.
It's a video game console.
Exactly.
The Xbox One and the PS4 really feel like dumbed down computers.
That have to update every goddamn time you turn them on.
Yes.
Wii U's not like that.
No,
I mean,
you do have
to update Wii U. But not every time you turn a fucking game on.
The games themselves, which no character console or PC today is immune from that.
And a lot of people can talk shit about Nintendo, but this is one thing that you can vouch for. Most of the Nintendo games, or the Wii U games that do come out, don't need fucking patched. Because Nintendo still has that known Nintendo seal of approval. What, you know, shitty games get by, granted. Right. Just like on NES, SNES, every Nintendo console has its share of shitty games. But you see, you know, for every 10 shit games that are released for PS4, there's 4 good ones.
Yeah.
For every 10 shit games on Wii U, there's 10 excellent games that can be released at the same time. Which some people don't release as much as PS4.
Yeah, Xbox some people One. Say that it's a detriment to it, but I'm cool with a higher quality, lower pool choice of games to choose from.
My main thing with it is just like, there's nowhere else you can get your fucking Marios and Zeldas and Kirby's. Yes.
That's what it boils down to me. As far as console exclusives, on the Xbox One, every game I give a shit about, I can also get on PC. If the PS4, the only game I give a shit about that I can't get on the PC is Bloodborne. But one game is not going to cause me to buy a console.
Yeah.
Wii U, almost like 30% of their library are games I can't get on the PC. They're classic fucking Nintendo games. They're Zelda. They're Kirby. They're Mario. They're Mario Party.
Metroid.
And there's the eShop with all kinds of old, awesome games, dude. I love.
And
Earthbound Beginnings.
I do not begrudge one single motherfucking bit throwing $5 down for a... Dude, I bought Mario 2 Lost Levels, the actual Japanese one.
Yeah.
I own it on my 3DS. I own it on all my computers. What computers I don't own, but... You know, I've paid $5 multiple times. That right there lets you know you've made a good video game. Where you're going to pay fucking $5 to put the shit on multiple consoles and play. And that's what I love. Just being able to get on there, like on the eShop, and hitting the virtual console thing up and be like, eh.
Now, I will say about the virtual console on the Wii U, it's kind of barren compared to the Wii. There's not near as many titles to choose from.
One thing I was bummed out, the Wii had TurboGrafx games.
Yeah.
And Master System and Genesis.
But
you don't get that.
For me, as the legendary Earthbound nerd that I am, Wii U has Earthbound Beginnings. And oh my god, if you like Earthbound, get Earthbound Beginnings.
An American
dude,
official release.
Look, okay, Earthbound Beginnings has 2 major changes from Earthbound Zero or whatever fan-made hack you've played. Which one of them's a half-ass change. It's got save states, all virtual consoles, so all virtual console games have save states. You can save one state, you can't add multiple, it's just one, and you can load from that state. Which, especially in the Earthbound Beginnings, is really fucking convenient, because there's a lot of down spots in that game, and you can encounter bullshit random battles, say, like, you know what, fuck this, I'm gonna load my save state.
I'm not trying to interrupt, but something I just need to ask real quick. Ness is not the main character for Earthbound Beginnings.
No, it never was.
Okay, I don't know nothing, so.
Even though they're very, very similar.
They look identical, almost.
Yes, in fact, they have the same kind of names. Ness is named after the NES, except with an extra S name.
Yeah.
The main character of Earthbound Beginnings, or Earthbound Zero, or Mother One, however you want to say it, was Nintendo. Which is because you only had 6 letters in the original Earthbound, and the default name was Nintendo for Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I name my characters the default names, because
I mean, that's canon.
Yeah, I like my games canon. I could name it, you know, Brandon, or however many letters that would be in 6 characters, but I like Nintendo.
That's, Brando.
Yeah, Brando. That's what I name canon. I name, you know, in Final Fantasy VII, they're all Cloud, Tifa, Ares,
yeah.
Barret. You know, I don't give them custom names because I like the canon shit. But anyways, Earthbound Beginnings, it has the save states, and it has a, if you press B, hold down B, it speeds up the time on the ROM. So you run faster and everything else in the world runs faster. And they've kind of smartly introduced that, like, there's some parts it doesn't work. So, like, if you're in battle and you're holding it down, it doesn't work. I guess in case you're just instinctively holding down the fast-forward button. But when you're walking around the overworld, it works. And it gets you from point A to point B faster. When I played it on the emulator, I did the same fucking thing. Because Earthbound Beginnings for an NES game was fucking huge. And there's a lot of downtime. They didn't make it any easier. So there's a lot of grinding in the game. You're going to need a guide unless you really just want to fucking stick it out and try to figure out mazes and shit. But I can't recommend Earthbound Beginnings enough if you're a fan of the series, because it's just so much better translated than Earthbound Zero was, the fan-made translation. Things are starting to make a lot more sense now since I've started playing this game. So, I guess I'm done giving the Wii U a hand job.
We've done that both. I like the Wii U.
It's a great console.
If you don't like what we have to say, you know what you can do to our podcast? Hit the goddamn stop button.
One negative thing I can say about it is it's about to be last-gen console. This year, they're releasing the NX, and they're expecting to sell like 16 million of the cocksuckers, which means the Wii U is going to be last-gen, which means it took the entire lifetime of the Wii U to become a worthy console.
Yeah, that kind of Nintendo's had a habit of doing that the past few years, though. That's kind of exactly what happened with GameCube. That's what happened with Wii a little bit.
I wanted to add a subtext to the
Wii. Wii had a bunch of shovelware, though, that the other shit didn't have.
To hardcore gamers, the Wii never really was up to snuff, but sales-wise, the Wii fucking trounced the Xbox.
The Wii was in just about every motherfucking household when it came out.
In fact, it's so fucking worthless, I had a hard time giving them away for Christmas. So,
well, dude, just like the motion controls of Wii, that was some groundbreaking shit when the Wii came out. You'd had motion controls and shit, but you didn't have any that actually fucking worked the way they were supposed to, you know?
So sales wise, the Wii trounced the PS3 and the Xbox 360 hands down.
I do hope that the fucking NX comes out and just whoops some ass. Look, I want to see a bat, and I'm like, we're sitting here talking about Wii U. Wii U's badass, but I want to see a motherfucker of a Nintendo console. A lot of the Wii U's
problem was, it's twofold. It's the marketing, and it's the fact that they,
it was rushed a bit, too. It was a fucking, it was,
they didn't have enough
Nintendo
games
to get a Nintendo, I can't even talk. It was a fucking early attempt by Nintendo to, gain more of a foothold.
Yeah, they didn't have enough games for those consoles. It's deluxe, just now worth buying,
it's literally a deluxe Wii. It's a fucking Wii with HDMI support.
And that's where they said they're differing with the NX. It's going to have nothing in common with the Wii and Wii U. It's going to be a completely new console.
One thing I can say about the NX, did you see those fucking patents for the controller, Nintendo?
I'm iffy about
Nintendo,
that.
Nintendo, please do not do a complete touchscreen controller. Please do not fucking do that.
If you've
ever played a fucking game on a cell phone or a tablet, you know how I had a Sonic CD on my tablet. Almost impossible to play, dude. Just because it's like, well, the joystick's mapped here. And I'm like, your finger's going to fucking drift off from that at some point because you're operating on a completely flat plane. There's no signals to where your finger needs to stay on the fucking button. Just don't do that shit. Yeah,
tactile feedback.
And I mean, if you do it Nintendo style. You know, I kind of figure they're expecting their touchscreen controller to take off like the Wii motion control did. You know, they're like, we've harnessed the ability to do this. We're actually going to make a really fucking good touchscreen controller that works like it should. And I'm just like, still, you shouldn't do it. I like having my fucking finger on analog stick and an actual button.
Yeah, if they do it like the Wii and the Wii U, having the motion controls only be for some games. Like, most of the games where you could do motion controls,
or make it optional.
Most games where you could do touch controls, you could also do optional classic controller or something like that. But, you know, while we're kind of off on a tangent, I want to brag on Bayonetta 2. Oh my god. I mentioned that earlier. Again, I'm going to brag on it. Sega, oh my god, I know y'all listen to this podcast. All major video game producers are listening to this podcast.
We are followed by Sega on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, but they're all up in our shit. They love us. They can't get enough of good old gamers' advice.
Me and Brandon are actually writing the story for the rumored Sonic the Hedgehog 5 that may be coming out.
Yeah. Take the people who made Bayonetta 2 and put them in charge of making all kinds of new Sega exclusive games and make a Sega console. You could fucking do it. Bayonetta 2 and 1 for that matter is such fucking amazing games. They could do it. You could do it. Get back into the fucking market. We need a fourth party. Because, I mean, it just needs to happen. Do it. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm drunk. I'm going to put that little asterisk beside that.
Well, here, this, since we're technically still in the news segment, some news that happened while we were going away on break. They've been commissioned for Sega to do the Dreamcast HD for years now. Well, apparently that petition that's been out got picked up by the trending people on Facebook, and somebody was like, oh my god, Sega's announced they're coming out with a Dreamcast. Yes. I've seen many people posting like, oh my god, they're finally making a new Dreamcast. I'm like, no, they're fucking not. No. Like,
hey, take this from one of the biggest...
It would be financial fucking ruin completely, yes, for Sega to try to release another goddamn console.
People, I'm one of the biggest Dreamcast lovers of all time. It would be like the retro
VGS. I hate to say it, but it would end up like that. They would have to reformat it completely. Yeah.
I'm one of the biggest Dreamcast fanboys ever. I have such a huge heart.
You are the Sega Dreamcast fanboy that I know. And I'm surprised you don't have that little fucking dream swirl tattooed somewhere on your body yet.
I do. You want to see?
maybe after the podcast.
This is not happening. Not officially, anyhow. There is a third-party company thinking about making a PC that plays Dreamcast games, basically. It's not an official thing. The Dreamcast 2 is never going to happen, basically. Because it's got that stigma of a failed console attached to it. If Sega ever gets back into the console game, it's not going to be called a Dreamcast. And
it would be like Atari just randomly out of the blue being like, oh, we're about to drop a Jaguar 2. And everybody's like, great, I guess.
Yeah. It's not happening. I mean, it's kind of a cool fan-made ode to the Dreamcast. But it's not happening. So stop spreading that clickbait bullshit. That's the only reason this is blown up as it is. Clickbait headlines. You're
spreading around them internet herpes, and you need to fucking stop.
Humanity has been dumbed down because of this. Stop spreading it. If you do find, Retro Video Game Magazine, the one Mike Kennedy runs, has a good write up on it that's not clickbaity. If you look into it, there are legit sources out there that tells you that it's not this holy grail Sega console coming out. It's a third party thing.
As much as we would love for that to happen, I would
love another Dreamcast with arcade, get great arcade games and stuff, but it's not happening, so whatever. The only other bit of news I have is the AMD revealed a new bit of graphics architecture called the Polaris. They showed that it was 60% more power efficient than the, I think the 970 NVIDIA GTX cards, which is pretty goddamn impressive. It's a 16 nanometer technology, which means the transistors are 16 nanometers big. For reference, the current technology is 32 nanometers large transistors, which is 1 10 millionth of an inch, I should say. That's how wide these transistors are. So the next gen is 16 millionth, which means
consoles are going to be the size of a goddamn flea eventually.
Well, no, I was going to say, anyone who's really kept up with computers knows about Moore's Law, and Moore's Law is not really scientific, but kind of is. It's an observational law that says computing power doubles every 2 years. We've hit the brick wall of Moore's Law, unfortunately, because after 16 nanometers, it becomes 8 nanometers, which is like the breaking point where quantum physics comes into play on this shit, and you're going to have electrons bouncing back and forth these different transistors that are so small, and it's going to be unstable. So this is like the, in my opinion, the last major PC and for that matter console upgrade we're going to see until
for a while,
until some kind of major paradigm shift happens in the
industry.
Until
supernatural elements are introduced.
Well, either A, the quantum computer is mastered and introduced into the consumer market, which is not going to happen for the next 50 years. You might read headlines that say otherwise, but those headlines are full of shit. I'm sorry. More likely, we're going to start seeing more 3D printed processors. Because currently, and for the entire time processors have been around, they're like maybe an eighth inch thick, if that. Very thin, but they're always about like 1.5 inches by 1.5 inches square. You're going to start seeing more 3D printed processors that take advantage of some height in it. And, you know, there's going to be more transistors overall, more core processors in there. So you're going to see more multitask software being created that takes advantage of multiple cores. That's the only way we're going to be advanced further than that. The only way we can advance further per core would be quantum processors. And, you know, you're talking about millions to billions of dollars per core to make it even work theoretically. So yeah, that's not coming to the consumer market within our lifetime, probably. So, enjoy this last breakthrough while you can. They may accomplish some engineering feat, make me eat my words, and go down to 8 nanometers. But beyond that, it's just not physically
you
possible.
You don't see that shit happening.
It's not going to happen without some huge fucking quantum computing breakthrough. So, Moore's Law is about to be broken. Enjoy it while you can.
Nice.
And I'll also say, because consoles have become kind of the pseudo benchmark, I guess I would say, for computer gaming, because most games for computers are ports from consoles. You don't need to upgrade your computers that much anymore. Used to, if you didn't upgrade your computer every 1 to 2 years, you were behind everything. Now,
3 to 4 years is pretty much.
I have upgraded my computer in 5 years. I used to build myself a brand new one every 2 years. I can still play every console game max at 1080p, 60 FPS, better than the fucking consoles ever dreamt of. And I don't need to upgrade. I kind of have the itch to upgrade, and there's no reason to. I'm like,
that's good, though. I mean,
it's good, and it's bad.
But that makes sense, though, too, because that technically is almost like saying a PC life cycle is about the same as a console life cycle now.
Not quite, because, like I said, my PC has lasted more than two consoles now.
5 years?
Yeah.
5 years is Xbox One or Xbox 360 is still going, and it's been out for 10 years now.
I mean, you can make that argument, but 360 isn't really the current console anymore.
It's not the current console, but still, I mean, technically your computer wouldn't be considered current, would it?
Yeah, but my point is my computer is still playing Xbox One games better than the Xbox One can. And it was made 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's my point, is you don't need to upgrade your computer the way you used to have to be top dog. That's no longer a necessity, because consoles have slowed down the consumption of hardware, of software.
Well, you gotta make consoles more cost-effective than a PC. That's the point of a console.
And because piracy is so
a PC does more than just gaming.
Yeah. And that's a big downfall to the Xbox One and the PS4, is they're trying to branch out. And
that's what I was going to say. That's one thing about them now, is that PCs are trying to be more like consoles, and consoles are trying to be more like fucking PCs. In a way.
You had the second half right. The PCs are still PCs. They're making hardware that can be like consoles as far as...
console games are written on PCs.
Yes.
Too, so.
Yes. PCs had the dynamic part of it. They could do anything, anytime. They've had that all along. That's always been in their court. Consoles are trying to spread into that, and it's not going to happen for a price point.
Consoles' main thing was like, I think, like, accessibility and playability. They made it cheaper than the computer. You know, like, you could buy a fucking Nintendo in 1989 for...
Oh, definitely.
$200-something, whereas a computer, which wasn't up to par... I mean, it was, but it wasn't up to par.
You get a pseudo-computer like the Atari 700 or...
Yeah, you're going to pay a grand for that shit. Right. And it's going to be... You know, play an Atari 700 version of Pac-Man, play an NES version of Pac-Man. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like it's not at all like that anymore. Dreamcast is kind of to blame because Dreamcast was the first motherfucking console that used Windows CE. You know, that Dreamcast was one of the first consoles that tried emulating more of the PC side of things. You know, like when you got around 128 bits is when... That shit started leaning more toward the computer.
And even GameCube, you know, they had that big ATI sticker on it. And
was a big thing on Game. Just so you know, it's got ATI graphics in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when N64, they're like, it's got silicone graphics in it.
Yeah. I never was a GameCube guy, but, you know, I saw the ATI sticker and my dick got hard. And I was like, oh my god, ATI.
Then you played an actual fucking GameCube, and you're like...
I
like GameCube, but I wasn't into that shit when it came out.
I never was into the GameCube, but I'm going to admit, for the specs of the GameCube had, it was fucking impressive.
For no more than Nintendo's got in that, it's not a terrible console by any means.
Compared to current day terms, it was like playing Crysis on your cell phone. It was fucking impressive. Especially for games like Mario Sunshine. I mean, some of the graphics in that game were goddamn impressive.
Oh, dude, the Twilight Princess on the fucking GameCube is beautiful. Period.
And it makes me sad that ATI sucks.
Wind Waker. Wind Waker is a GameCube game.
Which, Wind Waker is all artistic, I would say.
But it's still a beautiful game.
It's beautiful from an artistic standpoint, but like Sunshine was beautiful from a technical standpoint. Like, how did they do this on the GameCube?
Exactly. I see what you're saying on that.
Yeah, like, how did they... Fuck, did they pull... Like, Xenoblade Chronicles X is on the Wii U now. How did they pull that off
on the Wii
U?
We were talking about that earlier. It was
with
amazing.
Cody, yeah.
How they actually fit that skill of a game. That's one of the reasons why I don't think the new Zelda's gonna come out for Wii U, because they're talking about a map bigger than Skyrim's that's open world and that. I'm like, you're not gonna fucking do that with
Wii
U.
I think it's gonna be a dual release. Like, they're gonna release it on Wii U first, and then shortly after NX.
If you've ever noticed, generally about any time Nintendo preps a new console, they also have a new Zelda on the horizon.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. Because it is the duality of that shit.
Yep.
That's
about the end of my news and
Left 4 Dead 3.
Shit.
Left 4 Dead 3. I wanted to say that. Because you were saying how Valve might actually make it to motherfucking 3 for once.
Yeah, Valve might actually count to 3 for now. Maybe that gives hope for Half-Life 3, maybe. But as I told y'all earlier,
they're going to tease it and just kind of...
You're going to see some kind of little Easter egg about Half-Life 3. But no, I'm glad there's a Left 4 Dead 3 coming. I really love Left 4 Dead 1 or 2. Me and my stepson, I've had an absolute blast with those games. But if there's no Half-Life 3 ever, I'm cool with that. Half-Life 1 and 2 were great. Best fucking games ever made, in my opinion.
Like you said earlier, you'd rather see them just not make something than try to cobble together a piece of shit
right
for a third one.
Yes.
The same way when they do movies and shit. Like, you put out some piece of it, fucking, it kills the integrity
of
the whole thing.
And Half-Life 2 left at, like, the most hellacious of all hellacious cliffhangers. And I'm cool with the ending there. If they don't make a shitty one, try to just cash in on it. They're actually going to a third game ever, so yeah,
we'll see.
Yay,
thank
Valve.
You, Valve.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and we're back from a piss break.
Yep.
Leave it to us to make the first show of 2016 incredibly inebriated.
I'm embarrassed with how drunk I am. I said this earlier, but I said it on there. We split a bottle of Fireball, and I've had a couple beers, and I'm way too fucking drunk for being like a 300-pound fat ass.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think you're cute when you're drunk. I like it.
I think I'm cute, too.
Well.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
So we're done with the news, finally.
Yep.
That's it for tonight. Tune in next week for more. So,
are we on air now?
Yeah, we're recording.
Sorry, guys. I'm very sorry. I haven't been this drunk in a long time.
I think it's great, man. It's a good way to kick the new year off. We're celebrating, man. We're adults. Dude, I went to fucking work on New Year's Day. I was in bed on New Year's Eve by 9:30. I can't hang out and party anymore.
Right.
We're making up for lost time, so chalk it up to that shit. Brandon, is this the time where you want to debut your new segment?
That'll be towards the end of it.
Toward the end, so...
Let's talk about the best games we played in 2015. How about that?
I'm down for that. Once again, y'all, we're really sorry. Ill-prepared. I moved houses. It's a new year.
I don't have a legitimate excuse. I got a Wii U. So, I've been playing that instead of preparing.
Hey, that's a great excuse.
Working and playing the Wii U, and I wish I could... If I was more sober, I might come up with a legitimate lie, but it's in my legitimate lies.
It's better to be honest.
I've been all my gaming time, general free time, has been on the Wii U.
Well, it's okay. I don't judge you.
So, best games that we've played 2015.
In retrospect, 2015.
One of my tops, Pillars of Eternity. Great fucking CRPG, which for those who are unfamiliar.
You've talked about this before?
Yeah, computer RPG. Plays very much along the same lines of Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, and Neverwinter Nights. The most amazing voice acting I've heard in the game, bar none. I played this on our Earthbound episode. I don't recall what number it is, but just look for episode Earthbound and Down. I played a few clips of the voice acting. Best fucking voice acting, bar none, 2015. Perhaps of all games to this date. I haven't played them all, obviously, but great... fucking voice acting, a really good storyline, original storyline, great CRPG type of gameplay if you enjoy that type of thing, because it is an ode, a love letter, I guess you could say, to the old CRPGs like Baldur's Gate. It'll play yeah. just about any computer you got. There's no reason not to get it if you like that kind of game. Pillars of Eternity it's got the White March expansion for it right now, and they're about to come up with the second pack for that same expansion now, so I haven't played that yet.
Yeah,
because I've just been too busy with the Wii U and life. You know, I'm about to move as well myself, so
I'll help you move, so we'll get ready for it together.
Yes. So, Pillars of Eternity, I will dare say that's my game of the year of 2015. It was fucking amazing. The only part about it that I would say it was almost a downside, it was almost an ode to Baldur's Gate 2, where you could buy, keep, and upgrade various portions of it. It was almost an unnecessary part of the game. Because while cool, at the same time, it served no real purpose other than the gold sinks. But overall, it was a great fucking game. Great characters, great voice acting, great story. no fucking complaints as a game overall. So, Pillars of Eternity, my game of the year, I'd say, for 2015.
Shit. Game of the year for me, I don't know.
It's a tough call. 2015 had a lot of good games. There is,
man. I played a shit ton of Fallout 4. And I don't want to be one of those people, though, to be like, Fallout 4 is my game of the year. It was a game of the year to me, but it wasn't the game of the year. You know, it wasn't, I don't guess it was my game of the year. It was it's a great one.
I'm going to say this, I tried to beat Fallout 4. I mean, it wasn't a difficulty factor. I had Fallout 4 whooped as far as difficulty wise. I just couldn't get into it like I could. I don't know if it's so much as a game as it is me now. I really couldn't tell you that. Except I've changed since Fallout 2. You know, I've grown up. I'm an adult now. None of the Fallouts have had that same appeal to me since then. And I can't tell you if it's the games or me, honestly speaking. Since I'm drinking, I can't lie, honestly. I mean, I enjoyed what I played of Fallout 4. A lot of it seemed very MMO-ish. Like, so many this randomly generated quests. Go here and kill the super mutants.
That is one thing that does drive me crazy about Fallout 4 is... and if you've played Fallout 4, you know who fucking Preston Garvey is. But having to go fucking talk to Preston Garvey because he's always like, I'm glad you handled that. I got something else I want to talk to you about. There's some raiders holed up near a settlement. Or there's a pack of feral ghouls holed up. And it's the same. And I hate how you go to the town that Preston Garvey tells you about. They're like, they're having problems with ghouls. Here, go here. You go here and they're like, there's a pack of ghouls holed up nearby, and they're causing us problems.
And it's across the map.
Exactly. They're not fucking nearby at all. And if they're wandering out that far, it's your own goddamn fault, because they're walking 3 miles across the fuck. They're walking from Salem to fucking Boston City to get to you, like...
And, I was going to say something, but Rascal distracted me.
My dog is giving us fits. He's so confused. He doesn't know where he's at in my new house. He's just like, oh, there's new stuff in here.
I'm going to smell my own asshole. Maybe that's familiar.
Maybe you should leave the room. Well, thank you, Roscoe. He just did. But, dude, I've played a lot of Mortal Kombat X this year.
You have?
For a shit ton. I really enjoy Mortal Kombat X. Makes me think of Mortal Kombat 2 a shit ton. And that I love that, because that's my favorite one.
One of the things I was going to say about Fallout 4 is the consequences compared to the other games of your choices don't seem nearly as major. Like, they're...
There's too many ways to talk yourself out of shit in this one, opposed to being like, you can try talking your way out, but something bad's probably going to happen. Yeah. Like, people are a little too PC in the fall.
And if you're like me and you keep yourself away from guides and spoilers, when I had rescued the, what's the name of the Preston Garvey's, the Minutemen. When I had reclaimed the Minutemen's castle.
Where you kill the Queen Merlick or whatever. Yes.
And it's like, oh, we got this brand new radio tower now that we can broadcast constantly the status of the Minutemen. I was like, okay, I guess I have to listen to this radio station from now on. And...
this is the only radio station in existence.
You don't have to listen to this. You will get the updates if a village is under attack, regardless of whether or not you're listening to the radio station. But if you're like me and did not look beyond the game, that's the only fucking clue that you got, that, you know, that's the only way you'd know about it. So I had that same little fiddle song stuck in my head for 3 goddamn weeks. Because that's all I listen to when I play the game. That little fucking shitty fiddling song. And like on the hour, every hour, you're like, well, nothing's happening now. You know, Freedom Radio is coming back at you in another hour. And then you go up playing the same little fiddle tune.
Even people in the Fallout universe that would be actually, you know, in the game, I guess you could say, would probably hear that radio station and be like, this is as much fun as listening to fucking NPR right now.
I will say there's
one Which cool, I listen to NPR, so.
The one cool redemption for Fallout 4, and this is a bit of a spoiler, so if you're a huge fucking nerd for spoilers, and you for some reason don't have a game that you have such a boner of spoilers for, you might want to fast forward the next 3 minutes. But the Lorenzo quest, I told you about it. Did you ever do it?
I haven't yet.
You know, I might even have the fucking name wrong, but I think it's Lorenzo. It's this house in Boston that was had these guys that have lived for like 400 years. And you find out the father had been in contact with aliens. And they have him locked away in an insane asylum. And you go through all this shit. I can't remember the details of the quest. But basically, they've been leeching his blood off for the last 400 years to gain immortality. The father is the one that's crazy and has an alien artifact that's made him immortal and gave him psychokinesis, like in Boston.
You're no match for my psycho powers.
And then there's the father's wife, the son, and the daughter. And those three have leached off of his blood, like literally injecting his blood into them to gain immortality. In this quest, you can choose to be on the side of the son or the father, basically. And if you choose the side of the father, you get an unlimited supply of this immortality serum, which not only benefits you as a quick way to get strength and all kinds of shit to carry loot out of dungeons and stuff, but it has the cool like, kind of pseudo canon effect of making your character immortal, because he's not going to die of old age, because none of the other characters did when they took the serum. So, or you side of the son, kill the father, and you seal their fate as mortals now, because they can no longer get this serum. But either way, it's pretty cool, and it confirms the existence of Zetas in this kind of rendition of the Fallout universe, the Zeta aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 3 confirmed it, and in some ways Fallout 2 confirmed it, but I always found that kind of fascinating in Fallout, because not only did he have the massive convoluted scheme of the Fallout universe, he also had aliens kind of observant, like, oh, that's cool. These people kill themselves with nuclear weapons. Let's watch and see what happens.
That's kind of cool. Well, see, I've gotten to certain points in Fallout 4 where they talk about aliens, but I haven't really seen anything, you know, to back anything up yet.
What was really cool about that quest is I chose the side of the father, and you go into their household, and everything's still kind of civil, and like the father just walks in on the banister of this living room, and he's like, oh, hi, kids, I'm home now. You know, you've been leeching on me for all these years. This isn't going to end well. And you just fucking rape the whole household with you. They have no fucking chance of fighting against you at this point, even without the father who has all these crazy psychic powers. So it's just a huge fucking bloodbath, and you just revel in it, and you become an immortal. That part was awesome. The rest of the Fallout 4 was so-so, but that part was very memorable to me, and I wish more of the game was like that. Fallout 1 and 2 was chock full of fucking memories like that to me. 3 didn't have any memories like that to me. So that for that part, I would say, I guess 4 was a little bit better. I had one memory like that for me. So yeah, that was a cool part of 2015.
One game that came out in 2015, I should have talked about knowing my history. Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain is a big one to me.
Tell me about it. Lay it on me, suck it.
It's a Metal Gear Solid 5, for those that don't know, it's a continuation of Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. You're playing as Big Boss, not Solid Snake.
What happened between 3 and 5?
Metal Gear Solid 3 is Snake Eater. It's a prequel. They're mixed up. Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, is a prequel to Metal Gear for NES.
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater is you're playing as the original Snake that becomes Big Boss, the one they clone Snake from and all that shit.
Okay.
And 3 is that. 4 is a continuation of Metal Gear Solid 2 with Solid Snake and Raiden. Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain is, it like I said, continuation of 3, of course. You play as Big Boss, and it's also a prequel to Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid 5 leads up to the events of Metal Gear, where Big Boss, this one...
This is convoluted as fuck.
Dude, I could talk for hours about the Metal Gear Solid series.
I've never played a Metal Gear game for more than 20 minutes.
Fucking amazing story-wise. That's what holds me. Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2 are my favorite two of the series. But, Phantom Pain leads up to the events that ultimately makes Big Boss go from being a war hero to being pissed off. And Big Boss is essentially, for those that don't know, in Metal Gear, like, I'm talking NES Metal Gear, right, the first one that came out. Big Boss is the villain. Big Boss is also Solid Snake's father.
Yeah.
You know.
Pseudo-father, at least, because he's the clone.
Yeah, he's the clone. The Les Enfantes Terribles projects, where that's where they clone Solid Snake and Liquid from, and then they make the Genome Soldiers from their clones. Because Big Boss is like the greatest fucking soldier to have ever lived.
Yeah.
And Phantom Pain it's kind of like the Episode 3 of Star Wars. It fucking shows why Big Boss gets pissed off and decides, I'm a fucking bad guy now, pretty much. Like, he's not bad in his own eyes.
It's episode three, but it doesn't suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It
doesn't have a no moment.
The new one, Phantom Pain, though, it takes the Metal Gear gameplay and just one-ups it completely.
See, that's cool. And all
there's base building features.
I want to know about Quiet's titties.
They bounce. Very excellent.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
That's about all you can say. She doesn't talk. She is half naked, and she's a badass sniper.
Pretty much the perfect woman. She doesn't
talk.
She's
like Sniper Wolf, but more naked and just doesn't talk.
Yeah, perfect woman. She's half naked, doesn't talk. That's all I want on a woman.
She's pretty good at that.
Sorry to all the ladies who listen to the Good Old Games podcast. We're not really sexist. We're just pseudo sexist.
Sexism is not a sin that we commit here at Good Old Games podcast. But Quiet's a very fucking valuable ally in that game.
I've read that.
She can kill the fuck out of some people. It introduces a lot of new shit, though. It's got your typical Metal Gear shit, but then again, it has like a base building aspect. It has like you gotta ready your defenses. You can assign people. Like, there are people that would be better for research and development than they are being in your militia. You can swap them, and it kind of works like an RPG. Like, you level up your ranks and characters and all that shit by placing them. You place the certain amount of right people in your research and development, and you're able to unlock better weapon mods and shit like that.
That's one thing I forgot to add in about Fallout 4. The base part of Fallout 4 was a detriment to the game, I think. Because at first I was like, whoa, this is cool. I can settle.
It takes so much time away from the normal fucking game, though.
I was like, wow, I can settle all of Boston all by myself. I can start all the settlements. Then I realized, oh, it's the same fucking quest over and over and over.
To level your character up. That's about it.
I can build the same ass shit in all these bases and get some experience from it. And just really just drag the game on forever instead of experience a great otherwise great storyline.
You know, another game that came out in 2015 that you can talk about as well, Splatoon.
Splatoon is nice.
And since, you know, we've talked about Wii U and shit, that's one of the games I got my Wii U, and it has kind of taken me over a little bit. You know, fucking addictive.
I'm going to say it hasn't pulled me in, but that's not a detriment to it. It's just because I haven't given it enough time. From what I've played, it has been fucking great. At first, I really hated the motion controls.
I don't use them.
For those of you who are unfamiliar, the motion controls in Splatoon, it uses your...
You point down and it aims your character up.
Yeah, you hold the gamepad, which is like a giant tablet gamepad. And it uses the accelerometer in it, which is basically a big ass technological level. So it knows if you're leaning down, up, left, or right. So the default settings for Splatoon, which is a third-person shooter, it uses that as your method of aiming. At first, I fucking hated that. I switched it over to using the right joystick to aim solely, and then I got my ass kicked so fucking hard that I realized how wow the motion sensitive controls are actually almost simultaneous to It's almost
instantaneously
identical, I would say, I'll go with that word. I'm too drunk to think of words. it's fairly close to a mouse and keyboard. The being able to look with the gamepad through motion is almost like being able to scroll a mouse around. Not quite as good, because, I mean, if I had a mouse and keyboard on Splatoon, I would be the king of the world. I would win all the fucking championships. You know, if it... But, it's close enough now that I've realized the value of it compared to the joystick. But that was a big speed bump for me. Learning that learning curve. But Splatoon's been fucking awesome from what I've played of it.
I'm not going to lie, I don't toot my own horn, but I have never came below being in second.
Sweet.
On Splatoon. I have. Pretty decent at it. I'm not that great at like first person shooters and shit, but Splatoon, being able to turn into the squid and swim in the ink, works fucking wonders for me.
You know, for those who don't know Splatoon, the basic game mode is you paint more of the arena than your opponent.
You're on a quest to fucking paint more of the floor than the other team.
Sometimes the colors vary, but let's just say red versus blue, even though it's usually like pink versus green or some shit.
Yeah, like pink and orange or fucking blue.
The colors vary a little bit, but let's go classic red versus blue for this example. You're, instead of just killing more of the other team than they kill of you.
You paint more of the area. You paint
more of the arena with your own color. So at the end of the match, if you've painted 52% and they've painted 48%, you win.
Regardless of how many kills.
Yes.
Your KD ratio and all that.
Right. The kills only help you paint more of the area, because if they're dead, they can't paint.
Precisely.
So, that's where there's a variety of weapons comes into play in Splatoon. Like, one of my favorites is the paint rollers. I don't know if
the paint roller is my fucking favorite. I've played the paint roller. I've played the brush that works kind of like a paint roller that sloshes.
The Gatling gun. The end zapper,
the Gatling gun, and the super soaker one.
Yeah.
The paint roller is by far the best. That's
mine too.
Being able to sling, or if somebody comes up on you and being able to throw the fucker down and just roll over them is amazing.
It's very versatile. It paints a wide area of paint. If you play cleverly, it can be very deadly. So the only time that I've ever been like this completely dominated with the paint roller is that the other person had a sniper rifle and played it cleverly. A sniper rifle played cleverly will dominate a paint roller 10 times out of 10. Because you can't get up to him.
One of the other cool things about Splatoon is the clothing to, like, ability system. You know, different, like, the guy I'm running now, or my character, I have a hat that makes my ink refill quicker. I have a shirt that makes my attacks and my defense stronger, and then I have the shoes that allow me to, like, run my specials quicker.
Yeah.
Like, my special meters build up faster to do. And I thought that shit was kind of cool because it gives you a shit ton of options to kind of create what kind of character you want to play with.
I'll throw this out there for any of the PC gamers. It is the Team Fortress 2 of the Wii U. It's fun. It's semi-competitive. It is, I mean, it never grows old. So, if you got a PC and you're kind of on the fence about a Wii U, you get it for Platoon, because
For Placenta? Is that what
Placenta. Get it for Placenta.
Carry it in a little purse.
Yes. You can make an omelet out of that shit. But, oh no, really, it's the Team Fortress 2 of the Wii U. It's a fun shooter game that won't grow old really quickly. You can customize your character. There's all kinds of shit to the game. Every match is fucking different from the last. And it's just awesome. Even though I haven't put near enough hours as it deserves into it because I have a lot of Wii U games, it's awesome. Get it.
I highly recommend it. I thought it'd be kind of lame when I first heard about it. You know, and we had Nick.
Nick Cook was a
guest with us, and he told us a lot about that game before it come out. Bottom it down, dude. Oh shit! The listeners don't know, but I just watched Brandon consume the last of our bottle of whiskey. How was it?
Yeah, postpartum depression.
Yeah.
That was delicious.
I'm gonna seek out a bridge now. But Star Wars Battlefront, since we're gonna
I still have no experience with it.
Dude, okay, you know, I told you I only played the beta. Right? Yeah. I got to sit down and play the full version. I fucking like it. It's good. It's fast-paced. It's arcadey, first-person shooter, and it's fucking Star Wars. It's great.
That's what it seemed like to me. Like, I didn't see the...
People bitch because it doesn't have a fucking story mode on it.
None of the Battlefronts did. None of them did.
Well, why the fuck you want to play the story mode? Do most of the people buy goddamn Call of Duty to play the fucking story mode? Some do. I know they do, but...
If you want story mode Star Wars,
multiplayer.
Get Force Unleashed. Force Unleashed was fucking amazing.
It's not like that's the only goddamn Star Wars game that's ever been released.
Right, Battlefront has never had a actual story mode. It's a single player with...
Battle.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a computer-controlled multiplayer game. That's it. You know, it's never had a story.
Dude, I really enjoyed Battlefront. Like, I got to play... I played so many matches on Kyle saying I got to play as Luke, got to play as Leia, got to play as Han, got to play as Vader, got to play as Boba Fett.
Nice.
It's fun, dude. It's just, I mean, the main bitching point I've heard people talk about is like it's the whole Call of Duty thing. They're like, I shot that guy 15 times and he shot me once and killed me. And I was just kind of like, are you a fucking decent shot? Like,
It boils down.
I walked into that game not playing shit and I ended up with a pretty decent KD ratio.
And I've played in games where I've sucked shit and realized that I sucked shit. It boils down to two things. One, there's lag. Lag is a legitimate complaint, but it's not always the game's fault. Sometimes you just got shit in and deal with it.
Yeah.
You can test that out. It's not hard to figure out if it's your end or their end. Put the time into it before you bitch about it. The other side of it is sometimes hit detection just sucks on the game. From what you're saying, Battlefront
that has
bad.
Been a common fucking problem since the Atari 2600, and there's no reason it's any different now.
For most modern shooters, though, it's not bad. It hasn't been bad for a while, and most people just don't have the cognitive ability to recognize that you're not the best at everything. I know I suck shit at some games, and I'm. This is why I'm one of the few people in online shooters that will whisper other people, like, hey, good job. You fucking raped me.
You kicked my ass.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah.
I know the signs of hacking, the snapping, the wall hacks and stuff. And even then, I give them the benefit of the doubt because lag can simulate a lot of that shit. So I don't hack use it. I don't complain about the game unless it's just repetitively, you know, a common occurrence. Then maybe, yeah, sure. But even, you know, I'm not a great gamer when it comes to that kind of thing. I realize I'm not the best. So
you may not be the best at that shit, but there's not a single fucking person I know that can touch an RPG the way you sodomize RPG is. Like,
well, that's not a thing.
There's not a single person I know. I got the whole story about Final Fantasy VII. I could tell eventually.
Min-maxing is an art form. I will give it that. But when it comes to shooters, you know, very few people can say they're in the top 1%. If you're not in the top 1% and you're complaining about a game as far as hit detection or hacking goes, take a step back, breathe, and really analyze what's going on here.
Try to remember why you're playing a fucking game to begin with.
Yeah, and realize that you're probably not the best, that the problem might lie with you and not the game or the other players you're fighting against. So I think a lot of the problem with Battlefront, it got amazing fucking reviews for the beta. Then once people had to pay for it,
got the really shit reviews rolling in.
I think it's a lot of that. A lot of egos became bruised. And it looked like a good game.
Obviously isn't doing that fucking bad, or it still wouldn't have the hype and shit behind it.
I will say GameStop did say that it's underperforming on their sales, which is a major deal. They didn't say it bombed. They just said it was underperforming.
Maybe that's just because people were wising up and not shopping at fucking GameStop anymore. Hopefully.
For those who are seeing the new Star Wars, they're basically like the ration guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you give me your PS3 and 80 games, one half ration.
One half portion.
But,
1,000 for the droid, though.
Yeah, the takeaway from Battlefront, for those who haven't played it or hearing the bad reviews of it, remember, most people on the internet lack humility. Most people tend to think they're one of the best players ever, and if they're bad at the game, it's the game's fault.
Chances are a lot of the people that write the reviews can't play video games for shit. Probably somebody that's fresh out of school with a degree in journalism. They're like, it's probably easy to get a job at a video game magazine. Or
testing games will be fun.
Exactly. I'm trying to think. Ori and the Blind Forest, that was a 2015 game. We talked about it.
Ori and the Blind Forest, that's like within the first three episodes that we had Mr. Duncan on.
Yeah, that was OG status.
Ori and the Blind Forest was amazing. I still haven't gotten around to beating that game, which I feel awful for because that game was amazing. But I'll be honest, I haven't bought the game legitimately yet. I'm not going to play the game through until I buy it, because it's worth buying, 100% worth buying. I just haven't bought it yet, so I'm not going to play it all the way through yet.
That game also contributed our first ever hate mail we ever got.
That's right, yeah, BlizzFan 1998.
You said it looked like a fucking Disney movie, Brandon.
I did, and he called me out on it. You know what, it's a good Disney movie, fuck it. I have kids, there's some good Disney movies, it looked like a good fucking Disney movie. Suck a dick, BlizzFan 1998.
Well, fuck yeah. If you say The Lion King sucks, fuck you. That's like I love Lion King, can't help it. You're just up there like, well, I think The Lion King sucks.
This view does not represent Brandon Gentry or any of his affiliates. Yeah, you
bastard. Super Mario Maker came out this year.
Yeah, and I will
tell me what you told me earlier about Super Mario Maker.
Mario Maker, the core game is good. The level making is good. The ability to do whatever the fuck you want in Mario Maker is good. The ability to find new challenging levels that are both creative and difficult is extremely underwhelming because I'm pretty sure I mentioned this before, but I'm going to go all over it again because what the fuck ever, I'm drunk. I don't remember what I've said and have said. When you look at the top games in Mario Maker, it goes by a star rating. Like, you know, 4 out of 5 stars, 3 out of 5 stars, this kind of shit. So it's entirely up to the end user. Most users I found suck at Mario. I made a Mario level. I consider it pretty good. I've beat it a handful of times. It's hard. I fully admit that. No one in my family has.
But it's not fucking impossible.
I've beat it. Okay. I legitimately beat it. I beat it like at least 4 times. No one's beat it yet online. It's got 0 out of 5 stars so far. People suck at Mario. It's made me realize this. People suck at Mario.
That's one reason I hope I can get it because I can back up my Mario skills
generally. I need to let you borrow the game to at least try out my level. It's hard. It's not impossible by any means. I've seen way harder levels.
Does it play exactly like old Mario, though?
Almost. I've tried to replicate it.
That's cool.
It's really hard old Mario. I didn't go like full Super Psycho Tool Assistant. But it's hard. It requires recognizing the mechanics of Mario and abusing them to some degree. No one's beat it so far except for me. I'm the only person on planet Earth who's beat my own level. I don't know
if that's accept your challenge.
I think you can do it. You're better at Mario than me. So, anyways, the top Mario levels that you'll find if you search through Mario Maker is like these shitty
borderline clickbait.
They're clickbait. Dude, I couldn't sum it up better than you. I've been trying to find some way to sum it up. You did it perfectly. It's the clickbait of Mario levels. It's where it's like, oh yeah, don't move when you start this Mario level. It's a Final Fantasy song. So, you start it, you don't move, your little Mario character goes through a series of conveyor belts, sets off buttons that, sets off little note buttons that'll play a song or something, which I'll admit is cool from a level design standpoint. But it's not a fucking Mario game. It's not Mario. This isn't Mario. You don't fucking do nothing in a Mario game. It's not goddamn Mario. Stop fucking putting the shit on the top page of Mario Maker. I want to play Mario fucking games. I bought this fucking game. I thought it was going to be the maker of Mario games. I bought this over Mario Wii U because I thought I could play all the goddamn Mario levels I wanted as difficult as I fucking want it. But now I have to sit through all these fucking don't move Mario games. Fuck you, people. Stop upvoting this horseshit. These are gimmick fucking levels. They're not Mario. Fucking stop it. And this is the downfall of Mario Maker. It's so underwhelming because I can't find a Mario level I want to play without looking outside of Mario Maker. I have to get on Google. I have to get on Reddit. I have to do all the shit and follow creators who make good levels. I don't want to do that. I want to come from work. I want to relax. I want to drink a beer. I want to play Mario. I don't want to have to get on Reddit and Google and search out all these fucking cocksuckers who make decent Mario levels out of the sea of fucking assholes who make fucking conveyor Mario levels who play songs. Fuck that shit. Stop doing it. Nintendo, give me a way to search out real Mario levels.
Nintendo, I hope you're fucking listening. I know you are. You just gave my best friend a stroke. Fuck you.
I hope some of that made sense, because I have no clue what it has said.
You kind of just made me not want to buy Mario Maker. You blew me up. I'm astounded. I'm happy with that. That's fucking great.
I don't know what it said, but it came from the heart.
Tell me how you really feel. That's okay. Just tell me how you really feel.
Shit. God damn.
Dude, that was right off the chest. God damn. Wunderbar. Wunderbar. That's amazing. Play the fucking clap for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, shit. Well, what now?
Yeah. What was I talking about? Mario Maker.
Yeah.
If you're just looking for a good Mario game, get Mario 3D World. For $30.
I want Mario 3D World. It looks pretty.
It's almost as good as Mario Galaxy.
The only complaint I've heard about Mario 3D World is if you die like three times in the same level, you get the fucking white Tanuki suit. Yes. And they're like, what a goddamn cop-out for a Mario game.
Oh, I noticed my stepson will get like, yeah, I get the white Tanuki suit. I'm like,
whoopty, you can fucking make it through the level without doing shit.
Yep. I'm like, yeah, as long as you don't fall off the edge, you win.
It is almost the equivalency of, I know somebody, me and you went to school with, and I had a Game Genie from NES, but he had a game, you had one. We all had Game Genies. That was the accessory to have. Nothing chaps my ass harder when that little bastard would come to school and be like, well, I beat Mario 3 last night. I'm like, what, did you put the infinite fucking P-flying coat on? And did you fly all the way across the 8 levels? Yeah, I did. I couldn't figure out why it kept pausing when I beat Bowser. I'm like, because you can't fucking beat Super Mario 3 using the Game Genie, you little faggot.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you little shit.
Whatever. Yeah, everyone understands.
1 minute and 37, remember that. Or 1 hour and 37 minutes, remember that. We gotta...
Okay.
And I don't think it matters.
I'm not gonna remember this later.
I don't say that in a bashing way. I say that as you're an asshole kind of way.
Yeah, just remember for... I'm not even worried about editing this. We're drunk. We grew up when these things were insults. And whatever. If you're PC, you're not listening to this podcast anyway, so fuck it.
Good point.
But yeah, it really takes away from the accomplishments of Mario 3D World. You cannot beat it legitimately. There's no hard part in the game where you can't get past.
That would be like somebody being like, oh, I can speedrun that whole game using the white Tanuki suit.
Yes.
Fuck you. Who couldn't?
Right. The only thing that kills you with the white Tanuki suit,
right?
Falling off the edge of the world. Which, I will say, is a reasonably difficult thing in some levels because the camera angles are such cocksuckers when you're playing more than one player.
Does it kind of play like Mario 64?
It's Galaxy-style camera. Have you played Mario Galaxy?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, I got one or two. They're good games, don't get me wrong. And 3D World's good. But I would much prefer 64 camera style.
Mario 64 is the pinnacle for me.
Let me add this with an asterisk. I've only played it with my kids. The few times I played it myself weren't difficult levels. All my difficult levels I've beat were with my kids, where the camera styles were kind of fixed because there's more people on the screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, my daughter's bad about either staying in a bubble, which means that if I die, we all die. Or thought like one of them will be on the edge of the screen and I'll be trying to get a secret star somewhere and then I'm just like teleported to where they are in a bubble. So, you know, I can give a true single player, legitimate review on the cameras, but it can be a problem. I mean, I haven't played it, but it's a good game.
I understand what you're talking about.
I'll say Nintendo has an official eBay account. Follow them. They have refurbished games, namely Mario 3D World. $30.
You'd rather fucking buy from Nintendo, too.
Yeah, buy an official Nintendo refurbished Mario 3D World, $30. Man, fucking amazing. $30 all day. I'll buy that game for days.
Nice. Fast Racing Neo.
Fast Racing Neo, $15 worth every cent. It's a spiritual successor to F-Zero. So fucking fast. The only thing that I've seen that I would consider maybe faster is Extreme G. And I'm gonna have to buy that game for Game Fest. Extreme G.
I have Extreme G.
Do you?
I have a CIB Extreme G for N64.
Nice. Okay, this is saying Extreme G is coming to Game Fest 2016.
Get ready. Strap on your fast boots.
God, those games are so fucking amazing, though. So fast, so nerve wracking, so amazing. For those who are extremely out of the loop, this is a fast racing, I don't want to say kart game for Fast Racing Neo, but it's a really fast-paced racing game that goes, like, You say NASCAR goes hundreds of miles an hour. This goes perhaps over 1,000 miles
an hour. Thousands of miles an hour.
It is so fucking fast. And it's amazing how good it looks on the Wii U.
It's impressive. It's very... Dude, is it Storm Coast? Is the one track? It's on the second set of cups where it's like stormy. And it's got the crazy motherfucking jumps.
Yeah. And even on the first cup, the big ass sandworms that look like some out of Beetlejuice. Oh, yeah,
those are cool as shit.
It doesn't add anything to the track, really, but it just looks so fucking cool. I'm like, yeah, I'm racing a Beetlejuice.
I love the ability to toggle your color to orange and blue to hit certain boosts, because it adds just like that extra little
challenge
to it. Yeah, like. Yeah. Pay close attention to what fucking is coming up next, because it's going to make the difference between you being in 10th or fucking first.
And I'm going to add my stepson's critique on that and my own critique on his critique. Of course, he hadn't played the game. He's only watched me play it. I don't know. He hasn't played the game yet, for whatever reason that may be. But he's watched me play. He's like, yeah, well, I wish the orange and blue versions of your car did more shit. Like, he didn't cuss like that, but... He's like, yeah, I wish maybe the blue version made you go faster and the orange version handle better or something. As a person who's played the game, I'm like, it goes so fast, you can't handle more than that.
Nah.
For those who are completely unaware of the game, there's these orange strips on the track and blue strips on the track. If your color of your thrusters matches it, you faster. Boost. If you do not match it, you slow down. So you've got to, there's a button.
Boosting is integral, because, especially if you're around a lot of people, because if you touch another ship while boosting, you cause them to spin out.
Yep. Yep. And also, if for whatever reason you're caught with your pants down, like your thrusters are orange and you hit a blue boost, you can hit the actual boost button and ignore it. You boost anyways. That's very integral if you don't have the course memorized yet. So,
that's how you end up winning a lot of times.
Yeah, there's no weapons in this game. There's just racing, and there's blue strips and orange strips, and there's a button to change your colors. It sounds overly simple, but it goes so fast and so frantic.
It's split-second decision-making.
Yes, it's all you can do. If you don't have the course memorized, you're going to be lucky if you come in first. So... it's an amazing fucking game. $15 especially.
And if you're a huge fan of like F-Zero or Extreme G,
yes,
it's right up that fucking alley. Yeah. It's even got a tinge of like, as my site says, we're gonna talk about Star Wars in a minute. Pod Racer,
yes. There's another one. I'm trying to think of it. There's a 64 and a PlayStation version of it. I can't think of the name of it right now though.
Jet Moto?
No.
Or was that my first PlayStation only? Are you talking about another racing game?
Yeah. It's another really fast fucking racing game. This
Wipeout.
One, Wipeout. That's it. That's fucking it.
Wipeout. I also have Wipeout CIV. Wipeout my ace.
Also, Game Fest. Game Fest 2016. Exclusive.
Come get some. Come get wiped out. drugs or alcohol, but video games.
Very fast. See, as I've gotten older and I can't sink the time into games that I used to, the games that test my reflexes and memorization are the games I love the most.
So, shit, you can just pick up and casually play.
Yes, yes. The games that, like, I played this last week, I know the level. Like, when I was a kid, and my brain wasn't quite as good. Like, I played this game for months. I know the level. Now I'm like, as an adult, I played this game twice. This level twice. I know it. So, you know, I like that challenge.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah, Fast Racing Neo is a great game.
It is wonderful.
One more game I want to really give a shout out for. And it's not really 2015 release technically, but I've played it in 2015. Bayonetta. Bayonetta 1 was, what, 2012, 2013 on the 360 and PS3, rather. And then Bayonetta 2 is 2014, Wii U.
Yeah.
Hack and slash. You thought God of War was hectic? It got shit on Bayonetta. Especially Bayonetta 1. Bayonetta 2 is a lot easier because it's so much smoother. Bayonetta 1 isn't quite as smooth. It's a little more difficult overall. But the story's great. The characters are great. The gameplay's great. Since I've been playing this game, this is the first video game that has made me consider getting a tattoo of it. Like, I've been really considering getting, like, an old-school, like, I guess penthouse, two-sheet spread out, like,
pin-up,
tattoo of Bayonetta.
That'd be kind of cool.
Not because I guess that's, like, a huge boner for the character, but because I love the game so much, and that's such, like, a... If you've played Bayonetta, if you've seen the videos for it, you know, that's very, like, fan tribute-ish to it, because she is such a, like... She's just a hammy character.
Yeah.
She'd very much be like a penthouse pinup character. Very fucking fast, fun. There's even the anime I'm gonna get soon.
You're full on like hooked on the Bayonetta shit.
Yes. It's goddamn amazing. The gameplay the first one is fun. It's very fucking difficult. Some of the challenge modes I've played over and over and over, like 20 plus times, failing over and over and over. But I never got like so frustrated with the game that I was like, fuck this shit, I'm gonna go drink a beer and go to bed. Like, I'm gonna beat this game. It's fun, it's challenging. You know, I can't say anything bad about the games.
Nice.
I will, you
very
know,
nice.
The only thing I'll say, the price point for the Wii U version of Bayonetta 1 or 2 is too steep. Because of the Smash Brothers players, that's not the fault of the game, so I'm not going to detract from the game for that. It was $30 for fucking every. The first one doesn't play as smooth as the second one. The second one is easier because it does play smoother, but it's still a fucking amazing game. Get Bayonetta if you like hack slashes. If you like God of War, if you like... What was the Inferno... remake, the Dante game.
Dante's Inferno?
Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of the old actual Inferno book.
I think it's Dante's Inferno.
You probably right. I was so pissed about
the game. The game that's kind of like God of War?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's Dante's Inferno.
I was so pissed about the game because I loved... I feel embarrassed now. I can't think of the author's name. The actual Inferno book... That involved Dante and Virgil. The book was called Inferno, but the game.
I'm trying to. No, it wasn't. Fucking
Devil May Cry involved Dante.
It wasn't fucking
but...
Play-Doh. It was some like fucking old. I mean, yeah, he was an old dude, but dude, that's gonna bother the shit out of me. I gotta know.
Like, in the beginning...
Somebody's listening, like, you idiots don't even
know. At the beginning
of
this
it.
Game, you were Dante. This guy named Dante, who was in the Crusades, and you died. You got killed in war. And
they death... take you woman, man.
Death comes, is like, it's your time to go to hell. And you're like, yeah, you know what, fuck this. I'm gonna fight you, Death. And you kick Death's ass, and then it goes from there. Versus the actual book, Inferno, written by... What's his name? I can't think of the name of it.
Dante. Dante's Divine Comedy.
The Divine Comedy written by somebody. I don't think it was Dante, though, was it?
Yeah, Dante Alighieri?
Maybe. Okay.
Alighieri. Not... Inferno is the first part of Dante Alighieri's 14th century epic poem, Divine Comedy.
Okay. You got Wikipedia in front of you, don't
I
you?
I do.
Okay. You're right, then.
Remember, Wikipedia is not always correct.
Yeah,
check your plagiarism before posting it.
Yeah, I read that book a long time ago. It's a fucking amazing book. Virgil is kind of his guide through hell. As he's the only one who's protected from this giant Satan that's constantly gnawing up Judas and a few other people. Anyways, the Dante game was a bastardization of that story, but it's still, you know, in its own right, as a game, was decent. I just expected too much of the story. I want it almost like a puzzle game. And, you know, that was dumb of me to expect a puzzle game for the Xbox 360. But Bayonetta is a good ode to that, I guess you could say. It plays way better than that game, with a better original storyline that's more anime-ish. The character, mm-hmm. main character, Bayonetta, she is this voluptuous vixen of a character who, she's very, very hammy. She is a witch of the underworld, and as she uses more of her power, the more nude she gets. Very cheesy, but, you know, awesome at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. She'll like summon demons and go almost all full nude, but there's a few straps of hair. Her clothing is made of hair. So the more of her power as she uses, the more hair that she uses to summon these demons. So like she'll summon these massive fucking amazing demons, and she'll have like just a couple strands of hair just covering her nipples and her crotch. And it's just awesome. It's so cheesy, but hammy and awesome. Especially in the second one, you have full on like kaiju fights where you're controlling these big ass demons, having like punch out matches with other demons or other angels, rather say. So I can't say enough about Bayonetta so far. I love those games so much.
That's awesome. I'm glad you found something like that fucking you're that hooked on.
Yeah, my dick is so hard for these games, and it's not because his
cockhead's about to explode.
It's not because the main character is this hot chick. It's just because the games are that fucking good, and it includes a hot chick.
That's excellent. Dude, we're about to hit 2 hours.
Yeah, I guess we need to wrap up, huh? You got anything else to add before we get to our new segment?
Old segment? No, I don't. Let's do it.
All right. For those who don't know, our longest running segment in the podcast was Shit or the Shit, where I would bring you a game that I had been playing, and I'd tell you if it's the shit or if it's just shit.
We retired that segment.
It's retired last episode. Now. Which, you know, it's spiritual successor now that we're calling Hot and Steamy. It's about my quest to play all the games in my Steam library, finally.
Which will never fucking happen.
It probably won't. My goal was to never buy another Steam game until I finish all the ones I got. I've already broken that vow, because I bought Broforce, because it's on sale dirt cheap, and Broforce looks awesome. But I haven't played Broforce yet. This is another game. This game, on this hot and steamy. We're getting hot and steamy in here.
That's old Steamy Nicks.
It's a Surgeon Simulator. Have you played Surgeon Simulator? Know anything about it?
No.
Okay. This is a 2013 release by Bosa Studios. They're also the people who made Iron Bread. Are you familiar with that game?
I am.
Okay. Basically, if you're familiar with Iron Bread, you probably are familiar with this game. It is a YouTube Let's Play clickbait view whoring game. As Surgeon Simulator, you basically, the same thing as Iron Bread, you're given extremely awkward controls and you're expected to perform overly complex tasks using these complex controls, resulting in the, I guess you could say the lulls that that the YouTube viewers would like. So, like, in Surgeon Simulator, let's just say, like, QWERTY would be your fingers controls, and then your mouse movement would be your arm/wrist controls. So your lateral movements, or your vertical movements, would be your arm up and down, and your left and right would be like your hand tilting left and right, and then you'd use your fingers, QWERTY. I don't remember exactly what keys they were. It doesn't fucking matter. They would be what you press to actually grasp with your fingers. So you'd pick up tools, like cut open a chest, and use all these awkward-ass controls to perform surgery.
To do this crazy bullshit.
Yeah. There's, once you get past the controls, there's no depth to the game. There's no challenge to the game. The only cool thing in the game is there's a Team Fortress 2 reference where you're the medic performing heart surgery on the heavy. from Team Fortress 2. Beyond that, the game fucking sucks shit. It's a $10 cash grab because it relies on YouTube views to try to drive revenue for the game. Even despite the official Valve reference, it is not a Valve game. It's a big steaming pile of shit. You know, I'm glad you said that because I've been trying to think of a good way to describe the shit game for this. So there you have it. It's a steaming pile of shit.
Nice.
Don't buy a Surgeon Simulator. As cool as it looks, it's not as cool as it looks to play. It's just nothing but awkward controls to be a lol generator. Like, oh my god, I dropped a fucking wrench in this guy's heart. Give my channel some subscribes and likes. So yeah.
No bueno.
No bueno indeed. Don't get that. It's not a real game. It's a lol's generator.
It's bullshit.
It's the clickbait of games, so don't worry with it. If you want to know what it is like to play this game, watch a fucking video of it. It's just like Iron Bread, Octodad, all that shit that has is obscenely crazy-ass controls that has nothing... That serves no other purpose than to make you fuck up and draw viewers to the game because you did something accidentally funny. Ragdoll
physics. It's the exact Iron Bread thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd never heard about that game until you told me and I looked at it and I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
There's no fucking point for this game other than to generate videos.
Yep. That's it.
People need stupid crap to play so they can bitch about it and record it. Kind of like what we do.
Yeah.
But not as fucking monotonous.
Yep.
We're also starting a new segment where we ask you questions.
Yeah, the listener question of the week, or just question of the week, whatever you want to call it.
And then we're going to read out your answers.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that, and I think that's going to be our final one for the evening. Besides the Star Wars spoilers. So I'm going to pull that up right now. My phone died, so I'm having to rely on my computer.
I can pull it up right here.
You do that.
Okay, our question of the week, which I asked last week, is if you had to bang a video game character, which one would be the worst one and why? Okay, our good buddy, Ricky Foster, he said, Zangief would be the best because he is a tender lover. Zangief is also the worst because he never loves the same person twice.
A dirty motherfucker.
Our good buddy Colin Cox said Dovahkiin because of all the shouting. I think that's a Skyrim reference, but I'm not that familiar with that.
Me neither. But thank you for chiming in.
Yeah, thank you, Colin. Jesse Cook had a good one. I see. Nice. He says, I'm going to go with Earthworm Jim. Does he have an anus? What would that extra utility skin at the top of his head come into play? I'm going to say yes.
More than likely, it would.
I mean, he could just whip you around your cock and, you know, give you a good hand job.
He did have a sidekick named Snot.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting.
Maybe with then, ball snot.
Another guest of the show... Jason Chandler, he said, the great mighty poo from Conker's Bad Fur Day. Why? It's a great giant pile of shit with corn for teeth. I don't think you need to go any further than that.
Very valid. Very valid.
As for my own answer, I had thought about an answer. Now I'm drunk. And all memory is...
Probably one of the witches from the Left of Dead series.
That's a good call.
She just screams and fucking... You're like, oh, she's getting off. No, she's killing you.
Nah, yeah, you're dead now. She's pregnant and your life's over.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to say Chun-Li from Street Fighter because them legs, fucking scary.
Fucking hot.
Fucking scary. She's got more meat on her thigh than I do on my entire body. That's fucking scary.
Jade. What about Jade? Would you fuck her? From Mortal Kombat?
Only animal.
I'm pretty sure that's all she does.
Okay. Well, then, yes. The answer is yes.
She's a freak.
Another bad one. You're annoyed.
Though you get free pizza out of that, though.
That's true. That's true.
There's nothing wrong with fucking free pizza.
King Blob.
Not fucking
Boy free pizza. Blob, but... King Blob. Especially in Death State.
Just feed him a bunch of jelly beans and sodomize him out of the way. He can't stand up. You fed him poisonous jelly beans.
Banjo-Kazooie is another bad one. You have to fuck both a bear and a emu or whatever the fuck they are.
It'd be a crime to fuck Diddy Kong because he's young.
And an animal.
Yeah, that's double the felony. That's a
double crime.
Double the felony.
What's our listener question for next week? Because we came up with one and then I forgot it.
Shit. I had a good one.
You did. And now I don't remember because I drank alcohol.
The most hated, most stereotypical video game stereotype.
Right. Like,
what?
For example, like the geek who never leaves his basement.
Yeah. What is your least favorite video game stereotype that people give you?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good one. Because like, if you're a gamer, you face that shit, period. Yeah.
You play games, you're a nerd.
You stupid.
You're obviously a virgin.
Yeah. Shit.
You may have kids, but you're still a virgin.
Immaculate conception is all because of gamers. The Bible was written because of gamers.
You should have seen how a bitch in Joseph was at Halo.
He had that fucking jump shot down to a T, son. Nothing but brute shots and swords for him.
Well,
that's going to about wrap up the majority of the show. We're glad you sat and listened to us get drunk and ramble.
Whoops,
my what bad. The fuck?
Yeah, fat fingered.
It's okay.
Yeah. But thanks for sticking with us through our drunken antics, guys.
Thank you for listening to the first show of 2016. You can reach us, as always, at 682-777-GOOD. You better call us, because if you don't, bad shit's going to happen this year.
You can email us, podcast at Good Old Gamers, Facebook at Good Old Gamers Podcast, Twitter at Good Old Gamers.
Find us on Stitcher.
Yeah, Google Plus now, Good Old Gamers Podcast.
iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes. We appreciate reviews. We've recently received some reviews on there, so much appreciated. Our friend of the podcast, who we had did a charity, or kind of did a charity drive for, we advertised for. She might have, she had an Indiegogo. She might have had cancer, and I wanted to relay to all of y'all that it's officially not cancer. It's still tumors that she has that removed, but it's not cancer. So
good deal.
That's
awesome.
Yes. So she can just get them removed, and life goes on. It's not going to be an ongoing fucking struggle to stay there in her life or her kids. So
that's great.
Thank all
man.
Of y'all
that's
for, so great. For yes, donations.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you for your shares. Thank you for everything. Because even though she's still got to get them removed, it's been like it's a life or death battle. Because if she doesn't do anything about it, it will
turn into cancer.
Well, it'll at least, because it's obstructing some of major arteries, turn into a life threatening disease. So thank everyone for that. Thank you all for the Christmas donations, all that stuff. So,
from us to y'all, seriously, thank y'all. We wouldn't continue doing this podcast if it weren't for our fans and people that support what we do. We say heinous things sometimes, and we do all that, but when it comes down to it, it's all about you, the listener, and we're thankful.
Yep,
for everything y'all do. Follow us, definitely. Though. Check us out. Like, share.
Reviews.
Do everything.
Even if you don't like us, give us a review.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Talk shit about us. That's fine. Anything to
call
us,
give us
a
review. You know, we got a sense of humor. I don't care.
Yeah, we can handle it.
Tell us we eat all the dicks, because I do. I love dicks in my mouth.
Chances are you're not going to tell us anything we haven't fucking heard before.
Yep.
So do that. And until next week... in this bright new shiny year of 2016. We'll see you then. But until then, game over, man.
Game over, man.
Well, a little bit of bonus material for this evening.
Yep. Star Wars spoilers, Star Wars spoilers, Star Wars spoilers.
Spoiler alert. If you don't like it,
turn
get the
it
fuck
off.
Away.
Turn it off
spoiler
now.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. This doesn't even really have to do about video games, but Star Wars Force Awakens has came out since we last
Han Solo dies. Han Solo dies.
He is dead as fuck. We've got to talk about
Sucks
this
to be
briefly.
You.
We've got to talk about this because Star Wars Force Awakens is not really just a movie at this point. It is literally a fucking, like, cultural phenomenon. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's fucking seen it. If you haven't seen it, shame on you. You're not really a fucking Star Wars fan, period.
Yeah, at this point, if you're that uptight about spoilers and you haven't seen it, what the fuck's
well,
wrong with
the
you?
People are like, well, I'm not going to watch it in a theater with 1,000 other people. There's not 1,000 other people in the theater by now. Fuck you. I watched it many ways. You're not a Star Wars fan. Get the fuck over it.
What? I don't understand.
You're
going to
hear some spoilers.
What I understand of all of it, all the naysayers, and I'm a naysayer to a degree, the people who are like, yeah, I've never seen Star Wars. I'm like, I don't plan on seeing Star Wars ever. I'm like, okay, good for you.
Yeah.
Go flat.
You're also the fucking person that probably was in a band back in the day and was like, well, I'm not going to conform to a scene. I'm like, you're actually in a scene. Because you're not in a scene.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you're forming to a niche.
Exactly. Force Awakens, though. We're going to keep it brief.
Let's start on the good points.
Let's start on the great points. Overall, fucking great movie.
I'll agree.
It's a fucking great movie. A lot of parallels to New Hope.
Yes, it was very much. They tried very hard.
It's about a reboot. It's a remake of New Hope. I mean, it's not, but it's very close.
It's fan service to those who are disappointed with the prequels.
It is complete fan service. You get all the shit you liked. You get the new stormtroopers, which I really liked.
Yeah.
They're not completely like just, we're going to shoot 1,000 shots and not fucking hit anything.
Yeah.
I
really like the melee-wielding stormtrooper who's like, you're the traitor.
Yeah.
And he pulls out this badass, like, crowd-control baton. He's way better than the other, like, the silver stormtrooper. They're like, yeah, this is mysterious
Captain
badass.
Phasma, yeah.
Yeah, like, this is the guy you're supposed to be scared of. No, that guy with the fucking crowd-control baton, way more badass.
I really liked Finn, the new character.
I loved Finn.
I like him.
I like
I
Finn
genuinely
a lot.
Liked that guy. I kind of like Rey.
I did not. Not at all. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. I liked Rey just simply because I did enjoy the mystery with her character of not really knowing.
I would have
and
if they
I think
did it
it's,
right.
I think it's a general misdirect that they want you to think she's a fucking Skywalker. I don't think she probably is.
Yeah.
A big one for me that a bunch of people aren't liking, I like Kylo Ren.
I actually like Kylo Ren. I despise Kylo Ren so fucking much.
We'll get on that.
Yeah.
Chewie and Han, of course. Yeah. I mean, goddamn
yes.
it, everybody loves Chewie and
it
Han.
It sucks that Han's gone, but you know, from what I've heard, Harrison Ford wanted Han Solo dead for a long time.
Han Solo, Harrison Ford's wanted him killed off since fucking Empire.
Yes.
So
he wanted him dead in Empire.
I'm pretty sure that's the only way he would return to this movie if they're like, you finally got to fucking kill Han Solo off. Which makes kind of sense. Like,
you know,
you're not going to see a 70-plus-year-old Han Solo run around randomly fucking smuggling shit
they
across
had
the
to,
galaxy.
I 100%
time.
Agree with that. He had to pass the torch.
Well, too, you don't want to see Han Solo die of a fucking heart attack or old age. You want to see him go out in a blaze of glory.
You don't want geriatric action heroes. You don't want to see, you know, 70-year-old Rocky out there boxing with somebody.
Which you have seen 15 times.
Yes. 15-20 times. You want to see the new blood come along, and they did that good by killing Han Solo, and I'll agree with that, even though I think the way they killed him could have been better, because they sucker punched the king of sucker punches. His death was necessary, so I'm not going to bitch too much about that.
I really like the character of Poe Dameron, which is the
I wish they would have done more with him.
He's going to be more prevalent in episode 8.
I hope so, because as much as I liked him,
they don't give you a lot on him.
They could have cut him out completely from the movie, and you would have missed nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as I liked him,
what little time he has on screen, though, he comes off kind of like the new Han Solo character. He's kind of smart-ass. Kind of, he's got that bravado and that kind of badassness to him, you know. I really, really love the fact that they use mostly practical effects in the entire movie. That's one thing that...
Say mostly, as in like 30%.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like in the cantina scene and a lot. They don't George Lucas the shit and put 50 fucking CGI characters in there. It's actually people wearing suits, like... Daniel Craig is the fucking stormtrooper when Rey is like, you will release me from this shit.
Yeah.
You know, that the dude we were talking about and making jokes about earlier, 1.5 portions. That's fucking Simon Pegg, you know, like.
Yeah. I thought and that shit was really cool. Completely CG, was he not? The portion guy? He looks CG to me, anyhow.
I want to say his upper torso is CG and the lower half was practical. I'm not 100% sure on that, so don't fucking crucify me if you've heard it.
I'm sure Maximilian will.
Well, Maximilian can Maximilian my fucking nutsack. But,
what else was good about it? I did like that it buried A New Hope. I know that, to a degree, that's a issue that people bitched about, but, you know, I'm cool with
it. It's catch 22 on it.
Yeah.
Like,
you either liked that it was a mirror of that, or you didn't. See, when I've said this before to you. When I saw the movie, I would have gave it an 8 out of 10 because it wasn't the prequels. I was like, oh my god. I was so enamored by the fact it was the Star Wars.
It's not complete shit.
Now that I've had time to digest it and think about it, I'd say it's a 7 to 6 out of 10, but still a good movie. You know, I'm not going to say it's a bad movie at all. But I'm cool with that fact that it was a mirror of A New Hope. So the whole Starkiller thing, completely fine with. I really liked the concept of the Starkiller, how they gave more behind, like, that star just had this, you know, somehow it creates enough energy to destroy a planet. The Starkiller made sense.
It pulls from a sun.
Yeah, yeah. It fires a sun through hyperspace, which is a really cool concept of how it used hyperspace. So, I love that. I love that.
The Starkiller is one thing I fucking did not like about it.
Really?
I'm just like...
I mean, to a degree, it was a pissing contest with the Death Star.
To a degree, it's a fucking Death Star 3. Why in the fuck you build two Death Stars, and they both get destroyed, and you build a Starkiller with the same exact goddamn weak point two fucking Death Stars?
I'll agree with that point.
It has the exact same weak point as the other Death Stars did.
Yeah, was it...
I'm like, do you not learn from your fucking mistakes?
Yeah, like, I will agree with that point, but like the technology that drove the Death Star.
I did like the pulling from the sun thing. I thought that was cool, how it was instead of just like, we can concentrate a laser beam and blow a planet up. We can pull energy out of a sun and blow fucking 5 planets up.
Yeah, I like that it used hyperspace, but also its greatest weakness was hyperspace, because, okay, the number one form of travel in the galaxy is what?
Light speed.
Light speed, hyperspace.
Hyperspace, yeah.
So, and their number one weakness to get into the shield of it was?
Hyperspace,
light speed. Our shield protects against everything except for the number one mode of transport in the galaxy.
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to think that, Dave, about shit.
Well, when I was there, I didn't. I thought it was fine when I saw it. That's why one of the reasons I gave it an 8 out of 10.
But the same reason they probably done that is the same people that designed it, the same architecture, the same ones like, let's put the exact same weak spot that the Death Star had on it, you know? That was one of my main nitpicks. The other nitpick I had, which you said you didn't like the character Rey, and I actually did.
I did not.
I liked her somewhat.
She was a Mary Sue.
She's very bland and blank. But my main nitpick with her was her ability to use the Force like what took Luke 3 fucking movies to learn.
I'll agree with that and disagree with that in the same sentiment.
It's easy because she could be a very, very powerful Jedi.
There's two good theories. The one I initially thought of was that she was as strong with the Force. Like, I mean, that's been shown in the expanded universe and the games, that people who is extremely, extremely strong with the Force, strong enough to stop entire Star Destroyers with nothing but the Force, this shit kind of comes to them. I don't think she's that, though. One of the other theories is that she was trained as a child by Luke Skywalker with the other ones, and she just escaped Kylo Ren's slaughter of all of them. That makes more sense to me.
It does, but it doesn't. Like, if her and Kylo Ren seem to be around the same age, so that means...
That they do? I didn't think about that.
Don't you think the fact that he would have had to have been a fucking youngling himself to kill the rest of them? And I'm like, I just...
But then again, being the father of children, this is the same guy that killed himself, his
fucking own dad. So, I mean, goddamn, he could have been killing people as a young kid.
I was going to say that as a father of children myself, 4 years as an adult isn't a big difference. As a child...
That's everything.
That is a huge difference. A 12-year-old to a 16-year-old. A 16-year-old's almost a grown person. Especially in boys. That's damn near a man. So if she was 12 and he was 16, he was damn near a man. She's just entering puberty. I don't know. This is all speculation, but maybe, just maybe, she was in the tutelage of Luke Skywalker in the Jedi Academy, and she escaped the Kylo Ren slaughter, and she has all this hidden, I guess, training that's coming out due to, like, PTSD. She's buried these memories, and it's just kind of coming back to her now. That's why one of the reasons why she was marooned on the planet, she was hidden from him.
Yeah.
And also one of the reasons...
The same fucking reason Luke was marooned on Tatooine.
Yeah, and...
We gotta hide him from Vader, split the kids up,
and hide right. him. Right. And when it was mentioned that there's Finn and a girl... And Kylo was like,
Kylo Ren, what girl? Fuck up. That is one of my favorite sequences of the movie, though, is how he has a little temper tantrum, cuts the shit up with a lightsaber, and then, Emerald, you can come in here. We're talking about Star Wars. That's my wife for y'all. If you're listening to spoilers, you probably know details.
Spoiler alert, Emerald.
Spoiler alert, Emerald is my wife. Big spoiler alert. But, that was one of my favorite sequences in the movie where, you know, they pretty much are like, oh, they escaped, and the girl, and he fucking force pulls the guy across the room. He's like, what girl?
Right.
I fucking love that because I'm just like, that right there shows you there is some major fucking significance with her.
If he knew your classmate escaped, you know, that would make sense. You know, there's no really legitimate confirmation of that theory. So,
well, a lot of people think she could be a Solo kid, and I call bullshit on that.
I don't think so.
If she was a Solo kid, Han and Leia would have probably reached out to her more, because they're not going to be like, we show more affection to our Marilyn Manson-looking son than we do our fucking Australian-looking daughter.
And Han would have noticed her, because he met her face-to-face.
Fuck yes, he would have. Han met her for the first time when they fucking steal the Millennium Falcon, right, and he boards.
And I'm saying that as a father. Like, there's this shit you don't not recognize. Well, especially if you've known him as a child beforehand. So, I think that theory is null and void. Maybe I think the Skywalker thing is
a misdirect.
That is.
What if she's a fucking Kenobi?
As possible.
That's what I've said. I'm like, maybe she's a granddaughter of Obi-Wan.
That falls under theory one that I kind of mentioned, that she was just strong in the Force naturally, with no training at all, and she just kind of picked it up. Theory two is she had some training under the Skywalker tutelage.
That just kind of comes back to her.
Yeah, she buried it mentally due to PTSD, because she saw all her best friends, the only people she's ever known,
being slaughtered by fucking Kylo Ren.
Which would be very understandable as a child, and would explain her being hidden on a planet. And it would explain her fucking emotional that caused her to not want to be in the movie at all until the Starkiller scene.
I'm somewhat of I'm somewhat of a movie buff, and the main reason I think she could be a Kenobi is because it's the typical sequel flip-flop thing. Like, the original trilogy. It is
kind of a trope.
The original trilogy. Even the prequel trilogy. It's a fucking Kenobi teaching a Skywalker.
Right.
And this is going to be possibly the first time where it's a fucking Skywalker teaching a Kenobi. You know, it's the typical...
Right.
It's the same grounds, but it's flipped. You know, like, that just tends to happen in sequels.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a cool way to pan it out, because it's a great misdirect, because it wants you to think that she's a fucking Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously what that's pointing toward.
Yeah, one of the other things that really leads me to kind of support the she was a child in the Skywalker tutelage thing is when she grabbed this Luke's old lightsaber.
The fucking vision hit her.
She has a flashback of Kylo Ren slaughtering all the other students under Luke Skywalker, which, you know, it could just be like, you know, Obi-Wan or Yoda, which were confirmed by Abrams to be.
Maybe she's Yoda's granddaughter.
But, you know, she had that flashback, which could be coincidence, or it could be that she is that memory's bubbling up. So, I think.
If you notice, too, in the scene where she's being taken away as a little girl, it's obviously, like, non-human. It's a non-human person taking her away.
Yeah.
It's. I don't know if that's going to play some sort of significance, but it could.
Yeah. And, other good things, they use more conventional effects than the prequels. You know, in my opinion, not enough, but they're never going to use enough to satisfy me because modern technology.
Yeah. You know, to truly satisfy a Star Wars fan, you don't need to use a fucking computer to make a Star Wars movie. Period.
Yeah, I mean, look at A New Hope, the unedited versions. Muppets and shit. I mean, come on. They're not going to do that, though. I'm realistic about that, so I'm not discrediting the movie that much for that. But they did make a effort to use conventional effects, so I'll give them credit for that. I did like the parallels to A New Hope, as I mentioned. I even like the Starkiller, even though it was kind of a pissing contest. I like the creative use of hyperspace technology for firing a sun into planets. I do wish they would have fired it into the Jar Jar Binks planet first.
No shit. Even Endor would have been fine, too. Like, but just blow the fuck up Endor.
Yeah, fuck the Ewoks.
Okay, so something I like that you hate that I want to have a debate about, because he is easily one of my favorite characters in the movie. What do you not like about Kylo Ren?
Where do I start? First, I figured. A lot of it has to do with the actor, not his acting.
Adam Driver himself.
I guess that's his name. I couldn't even fucking tell you his name.
I don't know what the fuck he's from, okay. Other than he's in a show called Girls, and I know nothing about it.
He looks like Napoleon Dynamite, and he sounds like Buffalo Bill. Even though those are both great villains.
That's such a terrible combination.
Those are both great villains in movie history.
You're a great big fat lady. He's like, they escaped with a girl. Was the girl a great big fat lady?
they were obviously aiming to replace Darth Vader, which I'm on board with that. Darth Vader is an amazing bad guy. You need to have someone fill that niche.
You need to have somebody that's a better motherfucker than Darth Vader. Which, we'll get this and just say it too, is where I think there's another character we haven't mentioned will come into play. Snoke.
Who's that?
Supreme Leader Snoke. The guy they're talking...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He will end up... I think he's going to be fucking Darth Plagueis. We'll get on that. Kylo Ren, though.
He's extremely competent in everything he's done in the movie. The only thing he did that would impress anyone at all...
He kills Han Solo.
Well, he sucker punched Han Solo, which in its own right is okay, because he sucker punched the king of sucker punches, which I have a problem with.
Did you somewhat see the Han Solo death scene, though, to be in a parallel for the fucking Obi-Wan confronting Vader?
I saw it coming 20 minutes ahead. As soon as I saw the scene with them both on the bridge, I'm like, yeah, Han Solo's dead.
Well, as soon as you hear Leia tell Han, go get our son, that's right there. I'm like, he's not going to bring Kylo... you're not going to have the first movie in a trilogy. He's not going to bring him back.
Right, yeah. Kylo Ren's will be like, oh, thank you, Han. You cured insanity. Like,
exactly.
So, yeah, I saw that coming. I wish they would have killed him in a slightly different way. I didn't like sucker punching the King of Sucker Punches. Because, I mean, that's Han Solo's gig. That's what he does. He sucker punches you. You don't sucker punch him.
He fucking shot Greedo first.
Yes.
Period.
I mean, I would have been totally cool if, like, 5 minutes ahead of the confrontation, Kylo drew up his lightsaber and he's like, I want to kill you, Han Solo. And Han was like, okay, that's cool. I'm your father. I'm going to try to talk you through this. But that's not how it happened. That one's not a major grievance, so I'm willing to look that over. But another thing is, twice in the movie, not once, but twice, he gets a major fucking player in the Rebel Resistance. And he's like, okay, I got them in this torture chamber. I'm going to leave them with one guard. The most incompetent guard on my fucking squad. That's who I'm going to leave him
with. They kind of call his errors out on that, though. Because, you know, he tells them, at the one point, they're looking for the droid. He gets it from the girl. He's like, we don't need the droid anymore. And then, you know, Hux, the general for the First Order, even tells Snoke at that one point when they're talking to him, he's like, he fucking knew, you know, that we still need a droid, but he didn't think it was that important.
I'll give you that. I don't remember that, but you've seen it more than me, so I'll give you that. But I'm going to say, especially the pilot, what was his name?
Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron. He gave into the Force. Like, he told him what he needed to know.
Yeah.
Okay, he got Rey, and she resists it. So he goes to the Master Snoke, and he's like, well, she's resistant to the Force. I guess we're fucked. You know, there's no way we're getting information out of this cunt. And I'm like, is that the only way you can get information out of somebody? Don't you have fucking baseball bats and knives? Goddamn bricks, butter knives, sandpaper, nails, nail guns,
even better,
staples.
Even better than all that, don't you have a fucking lightsaber?
Yeah. I mean, there's a million goddamn ways to torture someone. There's so many ways. Fucking waterboard, cunt. You don't have to use the Force. She'll talk otherwise. Why give up? Oh, well, I couldn't fucking read her telepathically. All hope's fucking lost.
There is no new hope, goddammit.
That made him to be incredibly incompetent. The fact that at the end of the movie, which I want to commend the lightsaber battle then, because it was so much better than anything in the prequels.
Oh, yes. It's amazing.
Because it was really... I say realistic with an asterisk. It was realistic and it was human.
I do love that. That's one thing I liked about Kylo Ren, that scene where he's, after Chewie's done shot him, and he's fucking bleeding profusely and he keeps knocking the blood out of his wound. Yeah. That was one thing I thought was cool, because he's still kind of like, oh, I know I'm possibly fucking mortally wounded, but... Which is where I think he's going to end up being more man than machine. It's gonna happen. I have a feeling.
But yeah, I like the lightsaber battle was human and emotional, because in the prequels it was overly choreographed ballerina horseshit with the lightsabers. I didn't care about anything that happened in any of the lightsaber battles, even the one that everyone's all like, "Oh, Yoda was such a badass." I don't care. Is this a fucking cartoon character flipping around with a cartoon lightsaber? Didn't give a shit. There was no emotion. It didn't matter. And I didn't care who won in that battle. It didn't make a fuck in that movie.
It's just to be flashy and semi-entertaining.
You know, the lightsaber battle end of Return of the Jedi, or even in a...
Empire.
Yeah, Empire. They meant so much more. Even
it's human.
Yeah,
it's a human battle. It's not fucking supernaturally driven 100%.
Right. It was a choreographed horseshit. He's like, okay, you're mad. Beat this motherfucker into submission with a baseball bat that happens to be a lightsaber. You know, it was...
Threaten him about his sister and see what the fuck he does to you.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So I'll give it credit for that. It touched on that way more than the prequels ever did. But... Still, this fucking... Even though he was fully trained, he's still basically a Sith Master. A trained Jedi. Got beaten with his lightsaber against a fucking janitor and a hobo. What the fuck? That wouldn't happen in a million fucking years with Darth Vader. Not even as a fucking child. What the fuck?
One thing, just on a side note, that I was happy that this movie did. It did say that Finn was a janitor. He was in sanitation.
Yeah.
So they answered the question from the Kevin Smith movie, Clerks. Because in Clerks, Dante and Randall, the two dudes working store, are talking about just unnecessary shit. And he's like, what about all the people that were working on the Death Star that were just there to work when they blew it up? He's like, they died for no reason. He's like, what the fuck would people do on the Death Star? He's like, you know they had sanitation.
Yeah.
You know they had janitors. And I'm like, you just answered the question.
Yeah.
Finn was a fucking janitor. Now he's got a lightsaber, like, beating on Kylo Ren with it.
So, I think I might have missed something, but that is overall my biggest gripes with Kylo Ren. He was incompetent. He was a scary bad guy at all. Like Darth Vader, even in the New Hope, when he originally was obviously not meant to be Luke Skywalker's father, he was still like a scary badass, which is why he got written into the role that he was. Everyone loved Darth Vader.
So he's Kylo Ren's the bitch boy to Vader then.
Yeah. He's the Disney Vader. If Disney made Darth Vader, he'd be Kylo Ren.
You just fucked it up for me. The way you just phrased that fucked shit up for me real bad.
He's the Disney Vader.
The yeah. Disney Princess Vader. God damn it.
Brandon? That means Leia's the Disney Princess now.
I think she's still a Disney king.
It makes me feel dirty thinking about her in that slave outfit.
That was one thing that let me down. Slave Leia. Leia now. She's like, go back and get her son.
I'm going to say, I think they...
I'm just like, Leia smoked a lot of fucking Newports between Return of the Jedi to now.
I think they intentionally made her look old. I mean, she is old.
Carrie Fisher's old. Dude, she's been lashing out, talking about how they're wanting to lose all this weight and shit. And she's like, I'm 60 fucking years old.
Right.
I'm not going to look like I did when I was 27 and strapped to fucking Jabba the Hutt, you know?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
But it's life.
It is life. Shit, I'm 30. Yeah, I don't look near as good as I did when I was 22.
They intentionally did not try to make her look good for good reason. And I'm okay with that.
She's an older fucking mom figure. She's grown up.
I've heard so many people like, oh, Rey's so hot. I'm like, no, she's no Carrie Fisher. Not in a million fucking years. She's no Carrie Fisher. I'm sorry.
Carrie Fisher's actual daughter is in The Force Awakens.
I went to school with girls hotter than Rey. I mean, you know, she's not that hot.
Oh, she's good looking, but I mean, yeah. I agree 100%.
I've never went to school with someone hotter than Carrie Fisher when she was young. You know, Carrie Fisher young, fucking hot. You know.
Dude, especially Empire and Jedi. Carrie Fisher. Jedi. I mean, Slave Leia's stereotypical, but
well, back then that was very risque.
Oh yeah, that was a big fucking deal back then.
Yeah,
especially for a movie aimed toward that age demographic.
Right,
and the fact that you've got her chained against her will to a giant slug who's
like, say the exact same thing. A giant slug.
Mutamba Wamba, stick my tongue in your puss, boss up all y'all. Yeah,
but
wait, what?
I've dwelled on Kylo enough. Rey is another subject of my ire. Could have been a great character. It might be in future films. But considering Force Awakens alone, she's a complete Mary Sue.
Well, see, I think that's part of it, though. I think they kind of want... don't want you to know shit about her, I don't think.
They could have done it in a way more tasteful. They could have had her more personality and more flaws. But considering this film alone, she was a Mary Sue. She, you know, she overcome her past obstacles perfectly, can do everything perfectly, has no real character flaws besides menial horseshit that serves no purpose but to further her more.
One nitpick I did have, another major one, and you can probably vouch on this one. She doesn't, you know, beginning of the movie, She doesn't even know the Jedi is a real thing.
She's a hobo.
It's Jedi's a myth.
Yeah.
Tell her Jedi's real. She kind of thinks she may have some powers, but doesn't fully know. But uses a motherfucking Jedi mind trick on a stormtrooper early on.
Yeah.
And it works. I'm like, how do you... If you go from thinking all this shit is a myth, how do you go to automatically knowing how to manipulate the shit?
Right.
That was one thing that kind of got me, is I'm just like...
She was a character...
It was more of a plot device for her to be like, you will release me, because she needed a way to get free.
That was 100% what I was going to say. She was
without
so much,
being rescued, because
she was a character
they rescued
in
Princess
the film.
Leia.
She was a character in the film so much as she was a plot device. Now, she could turn into a great character later. I'll give it that.
And she will, I have a feeling.
I think she will, too.
She's on Carrie episode 8 and 9.
But, this episode alone, can you name one personality trait about Rey? As a person, not who she looks like or what she's done in the film. What kind of a person is she? Okay,
I don't know.
Let's transpose that to the main character of another Star Wars film, Luke Skywalker. Do you give me a personality trait of Luke Skywalker in A New Hope?
He's green? Like, he's kind of a bitch? A little bit?
He's whiny? Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But at the same time, adventurous?
Yeah, he's a little nervous, but he's not completely... He's up for a challenge, but he's nervous about it, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, he just got to ease his way into it. That's what I was saying
earlier.
You
could say impatient?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready to learn his shit now. That's why.
And Rey?
Hence Empire. You leave now, your fucking training's not complete. You're going to be on the path of the dark side. But fuck it. I got to go.
Yeah. And Rey, you know, I don't have a soundboard clip for crickets, but, you know, that would be fitting.
I'm nothing. I'm no one. My family will be here.
And that was my biggest complaints about the prequels. I mean, Finn was great. I can't say enough about Finn. Finn was a great character, even though he was a janitor and beat up a Sith Lord.
The conflict he has makes him a fucking great character, because you're like, oh, this dude has been forced to be a motherfucking stormtrooper.
Yes.
You know, like,
Rey, we have no clue as to why she's important to the story, other than she happened to flip all the right switches in all the starships she's been on.
She's the fucking pilot that got Finn off of Jakku.
She's the MacGuffin. She is the briefcase in Pulp Fiction that made the story go further. She's not a character beyond that.
Dude, that is a great fucking way to sum that up. That's wonderful.
That's one of the things that made the movie slide from an 8 out of 10 to like a 7 to maybe even a 6 out of 10 for me. It's still a good movie, but it had its flaws. Could have been better. And, you know, maybe the next movies will rectify it. I don't know. But all I have to go on is episode 7. So.
Yeah. It's only like 503 days.
Yeah, only.
Episode 8.
Another big complaint I had about the movie is the main characters didn't want to be there until the Starkiller incident. Once they realized their lives were in immediate danger, they finally wanted to be in the movie. And A New Hope, as a parallel, since this movie was such a parallel of A New Hope, Luke Skywalker was kind of a whiny bitch because he was a farm boy. But he wanted to go out. He's like, God damn it, I want to go out. I want to meet Space Muppets. I want to be a Jedi. I want to blow up fucking Death Stars all fucking day.
I don't want to stay here and get burned with Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen.
Yeah. What did Rey want to do? She wanted to stay on a fucking desert and just cry and bleed out her pussy, all of her emotional fucking issues. Finn wanted to get the fuck out of Dodge because he's like, you know what, the whole fucking First Order's after me. I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Let's fucking go.
Let's run the fuck away.
Yeah, no one wanted to be there until the Starkiller thing happened. Like, oh, no matter where I go, they can blow it the fuck up.
That's another plot device. That's where Finn comes in as a plot device. They're like, well, you know where the fucking weak point
is.
Yeah,
I claim the shooter here. I know where to blow this thing up somehow.
Yeah. I'm like, so you tell me you're in sanitation, but you have the knowledge of an engineer? This is called Goodwill Hunting. Like,
yes.
Oh my god! Yes.
I have not put that together yet. Yes. It's Space Good Will Hunting.
Dude, honestly, I had not thought about that till just then.
Was amazing.
It just clicked. I was like, wait a minute. I've seen this all before.
Familiar it is.
Robin Williams wasn't in Force Ghost in it either. I might not should have said that. But anyways, it's the truth though. Like
it is.
You know, you clean fucking shitters. You know where the weak point is? Bravo. Your name is very, very your name's a quinky dink. Finn. Yeah. He is finished.
Oh my god, that's so perfect. That is the best analogy. It's nice Good Will Hunting.
It really is.
And I guess that's not a bad thing. Good Will Hunting, I guess, in its own right, wasn't a bad movie.
Oh, no, it's a great movie, but not when it takes place in space.
That was genius. I can't put it any better.
That was a very Good Will Hunting moment. Like, I'm a low little podcaster, but I had a groundbreaking idea.
Well, I can't say anything else. I fucking did it.
One thing I do want to say, I think Supreme Leader Snoke will end up being Darth Plagueis.
Yeah.
Just from, you know, that's how Palpatine truly lures Anakin. I mean, Anakin's already on his way in episode 3, but
yeah,
that's how he truly, because, you know, Palpatine tells him the story of Darth Plagueis. He's like, he's the first fucking Sith Lord Jedi that was able to actually manipulate life and death, blah, blah, blah. His apprentice killed him, insinuating that fucking Palpatine what was his name before he becomes Emperor Palpatine? Darth Sidious.
Yes.
You know, implying that Darth Sidious killed him. And, you know, that's the whole cheesy line. He could even save the ones. Or he's like, he could even save the ones he loves from dying. You know? Like, so I just kind of wonder, you know, if it would make sense where if they thought he was dead, he's just kind of in the shadows the whole time. Because, you know, he's the guy that, or the Andy Serkis plays fucking Supreme Leader Snoke, which is a completely CG character. But you can tell from his face, he's been fucking like wounded before. He's very scarred up, very drawled up looking.
Yeah.
And
the Force has taken its toll.
Yeah. And, you know, and the dark side. Expanded universe, fucking Darth Plagueis was like thousands of years old because he can manipulate life and death. And like, as they say in episode 3, he can manipulate the midichlorians. And I'm just like, he can manipulate the Force. Fuck the midichlorians.
That's one thing I wish that they would. I understand that they had a retcon the expanded universe. There's no way you could keep it right make a new movie. But I wish they would incorporate more elements like Darth Revan and stuff like that. Amazing fucking...
I'm not super familiar with a lot of the expanded universe.
I'm really familiar with it from the gaming side because I never read the novels because, you know, I'm not that big of a Star Wars nerd. But the games that I played that new were canon, I fucking loved. And from what I understood, the novels were great too from people I knew that had read them. Darth Revan in Knights of the Old Republic, goddamn amazing character. He was a Sith Lord that was Jedi mind wiped, and you know,
kind of forced into being a Sith Lord.
Oh, as much as any Sith Lord was, but he got Jedi mind wiped, so he had the choice. I could become a Sith Lord again. I could become a full fledged like White Knight Paladin Jedi, or you know, Grey Jedi.
But he goes back to the Sith.
Yeah. So, you know, they could have played with that a lot. And it's just dead. They could have come up with a way better character than Kylo Ren. They didn't have to tie it to Han Solo and Leia. There's so many more Force adept characters within the expanded universe and Star Wars that they didn't have to tie it to them. They could have, you know, done something completely else, and it would have been amazing, but they didn't. I guess it's not that huge of a grab, though. It was still a good movie overall. I've had time to analyze it.
And the
fact that it's not the prequels is worn off on me. That amazement that, oh my god, this is a watchable movie.
This is an actual Star Wars movie.
Yeah. That moment's worn off on me, so I've had time to analyze it as an actual movie, and it's not as good as when I saw it. You know, whether that be my fault or theirs, which I'm going to say it's their fault, because that's
yeah.
So yeah, that's it. That's my complaints and praises for the movie.
We get Rogue One this year too. Have you read any of the details about Rogue One?
Isn't that the spinoff movies?
Yeah. We get a spinoff movie, we get episode 8, we get a spinoff movie, we get episode 9.
Disney's gonna milk it so fucking
bad. I'm kind of excited. I read they actually released the plot details for Rogue One, and I'm kind of like, that's kind of cool. Rogue One is gonna take place during A New Hope, and it's gonna be about, you know, they got all the Rogue Squadrons, and it's gonna be about one doing shit, and they pretty much get shot down. They get taken prisoner by the Empire. And are prisoners of war. And while they're in prison, one of them manages to find the plans to the first Death Star. And the whole movie is about them trying to escape Imperial prison and get the plans.
Well, that's cool.
Back to the Rebellion. You know, to set up the events for Luke. Like, use the Force.
I'm going to say that that's a cool plot, but at the same time, I'm so fucking sick of Disney's the milking of the cow. Disney's over top of it. That's another thing.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that Disney made fucking sequels to their 50-year-old animated classics in the fucking late 90s, and they were all fucking pieces of shit.
See,
Bambi 2.
Yes. See, no matter how great Star Wars Episode 7 was, it could not live up to the hype. No movie on planet Earth could live up to the hype.
It was the most hyped movie in like fucking 50 years. They were saying it was the most hyped movie possibly of all time. You know, like,
you know, it didn't. I posted this one meme on our own Facebook, on our Good Old Gamers Facebook page. It showed Star Wars oranges, and it said, "Disney, calm the fuck down." And
dude, I laughed so fucking hard at that. Disney, calm your tits. That's what you said.
Yeah, that was it. And then I saw something like that in real life. I went to Dollar General, and outside of their store, like beside the door, was bottled water, but the Star Wars label.
I seen the bottled water.
Star Wars fucking bottled water.
Like so many people in fucking Jakku had bottled water.
Yeah.
That's why they're worried about scavenging goddamn downed Imperial Star Destroyers to fucking eat food, eat slop at the end of the day. The fuck?
It's milked so hard and hyped so hard, nothing could live up to it. And I can't help but think that maybe if it was a hype, if the hype wasn't so high, maybe I would have thought better of the movie overall.
You think if George Lucas and Lucasfilm themselves were handling it?
To a degree. I mean, just because nothing could live up to that. Nothing could. And I can't help but judge it by that hype standard. Because that's what they expected us to judge it by. Like, they expected us to get hyped this much. And you can't get hyped this much and see a real movie and still love it as much as they expected you to love it.
Oh, no. No fucking not at all.
So
that's just like flat out insanity asking for
that
much. That's
why, as much as I hate Avatar the movie, that, not the airbender, but like the James Cameron. Yeah,
the blue
like,
alien.
Yeah, bullshit. The blue furry horse shit movie.
It won't beat Avatar globally. Because, it's unbeat it domestically. It won't do it globally, though.
Because Avatar came out of left field, no hype or anything, and it came out, even though I think it's a shitty fucking movie.
A lot of the shit with Avatar, though, is the fact that they invented a new fucking camera just to film that movie.
It was a tech demo.
It set the fucking IMAX standard now.
Yeah, it's a tech demo.
Exactly.
Yeah, it came out of left field, no hype for it, and even though it only followed tired movie tropes, it delivered in ways that no one expected it to, because it wasn't so hyped. Star Wars is way overhyped. It can't deliver to the hype that people want it to, so it's not going to do better. As much as I would love it, because even though my quips with Star Wars, or big, I would love nothing more to see it crush Avatar, because I fucking hate that movie. I hate everything James Cameron's done.
Oh, I can't say that. You don't like Terminator, Terminator 2, or Aliens?
Okay, I should say that.
I don't like. I don't like fucking post Titanic James Cameron much.
That's what I mean. That's what
I was gonna be like. You do not talk shit about Terminator 1, 2, or Aliens in my house. Yeah, I understand what you mean, though. Like, fucking Titanic and post-Titanic James Cameron. Because that's when he truly figured out, well, I can make... At this point, I'm such a renowned director. I can make a piece of shit movie and people will pay money to watch it.
As long as they release it at Christmas when there's no competition, everyone will see it three goddamn times. And I'll be a goddamn gazillionaire. And I'll make submarines and go to the bottom of the Pacific Rim.
Good job, James Cameron.
You know, he figured out a good formula. Star Wars followed it. Hey, release it around Christmas. Everyone will go watch it. There's nothing else to compete.
Oh, dude, I heard some about Disney's tactics for getting that movie in theaters. Ruthless.
Really?
Quentin Tarantino's pissed off. You know, Hateful Eight just come out. Hateful Eight's a wonderful fucking movie.
I
want to
see that.
So fucking good.
I
got to
see that.
And he released it, and they did a thing for Hateful Eight called The Roadshow, where they played it in 70mm, like old school.
Oh, sweet.
You know, like Western wide format.
Yes.
Well, The Roadshow one only played for a week in theaters. And that's the one I went and seen in Hoover. It had like 30 minutes extra footage and shit, and had the wide displays and all that.
Full of film rain and...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Fucking amazing. Just beautiful looking. Just absolutely gorgeous cinematography. And there was one fucking theater in the Los Angeles area that was capable of playing the 70mm format. One fucking theater house. Like, in my theater house, I mean one fucking cinema room in an entire theater. They also released a few prints of Star Wars in 70mm. Huntsville and Birmingham.
Why?
Huntsville and Birmingham are two of the only places... Two of the only 15 places worldwide that have Star Wars in 70mm, by the way. But they wanted to release it at the theater that Quentin Tarantino had already had booked for a pre-release of Hateful Eight. And pretty much told them, if you don't ditch Hateful Eight and put Star Wars in its slot, you're going to miss out on the biggest motherfucking movie of the holiday season.
Oh,
and we
shit.
Will pull Star Wars from every fucking chain, or every theater in your chain.
God damn.
And, like, I don't know how true that is, because I know Quentin Tarantino is a fucking asshole, but I'm like, you can't really... Disney, being as fucking huge of a company they are...
They
by the way, pretty much Quentin Tarantino's boss... Quentin Tarantino's movies always come out for, like, Miramax or Dimension.
Yes.
Something like that, which is owned by Harvey Weinstein and his brother. Miramax is a subdivision of fucking Disney. You cannot talk that kind of shit about a company that fucking big.
Yeah.
And it be false. It's slander.
I've grown to hate Disney because it owns so much shit that you can't get away from it.
It's evil conglomerate, dude. Like, it literally is. Like, they buy the franchise rights to everything up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a matter of fucking time. Like we joked earlier, they'll own Star Trek at some point.
Yeah,
like, it's just a matter of fucking time.
Yeah, they bought Marvel, they bought Star Wars,
they'll own Ninja Turtles, they'll own every good thing that you've ever liked,
and they'll Disney-fy it,
milk it.
Anything that was unique in it will be fucking bland. It'll appeal to the widest fucking audience that you know. It's gonna be sad. I can't despise Disney enough for that. And I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, down with the corporation, smash capitalism.
Oh, no, me neither, just, but...
I hate that.
Disney is like the biggest one.
They're the entertainment conglomerate now, and...
tactics are... And the Hateful Eight thing's not the first time I've ever heard about Disney's tactics to get, you know, to get films in play and to get shit on the shelves.
Yeah.
Like, they're fucking ruthless, dude. It's not the Mickey Mouse of Disney. But I did read about that. And actually, Quentin Tarantino did a fucking interview on Howard Stern. And was talking about Howard Stern is personal friends with the president of Disney. And he was just like, whatever that dude's name is. He's like, just don't do this. He's like, you're pissing Quentin off. He's like, you're showing your movie on 17,000 screens across America. Give him his one to play 70 millimeter right. in Los Angeles. And that's fucking true, though, man. Like, you know you've got a surefire hit. You've got a goddamn cultural impact thing on your hands. And you're going to fuck him on one theater?
Right.
That's greedy. That's too greedy.
We mentioned that Star Wars isn't going to be Disney globally. There is an asterisk to that it hasn't released in China yet as of this recording. China's a huge fucking market. So it could.
China's like the largest continent. So, isn't it?
Well, Asia is.
Asia's, sorry. That was a stupid thing to say. I meant Asia.
China's the most populated country.
So
it could outdo Avatar. And I hope it does, despite the fact that I hate Disney. But I hate Avatar more because it's such a shitty film.
James Cameron's got Avatar 2 and 3 coming at you in the next 3 years.
Fuck those films. Anyways, I think we need to wrap it up.
It's 3 hours. Yeah. This is our longest episode we've ever recorded, and it's actually not a bunch of bullshit from somebody else ranting.
Yep.
From us to you, once again, we're going to close it out. Good Old Gamers Podcast, Facebook, Stitchers, iTunes, all that bullshit. Google us, you can find us. And that's the end of our Star Wars rant, so hopefully you're not pissed off from all the spoilers. Game over, man.
Game over, man. Game over.